Meeting. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have a roll call, please.
Mr. Carruth?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
Here.
Mr. Copeland?
Here.
Mr. Mugford?
Here.
Ms. McDowell?
Present.
Ms. Medley?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to approve the February 3rd, 2016 meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So moved. Are there any disclosures of ex parte communications? If not, anybody that's going to be speaking today, and staff, please stand and for the oath.
If you think you're going to speak, or you know you will speak, please stand and raise your right hand. Thank you. Do you and each of you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to present shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
On the screens in front of you, there are 13 cases up there that will not be heard today. They're withdrawn cases. So if you have cases up there, it will not be heard. We'll move to the first case, which, board members, is AI 20. It is case number 2014-070598. It's a requested foreclosure. City of Palm Coast versus DevelopCo, Inc., 37 Cimarron Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 15-102.2, structural damage.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Code Officer Michael Haddon for the City of Palm Coast. For the record, the respondent is present. I'm entering evidence to see Composite 1 proving proper service, copy of the original board order, along with numerous photos and documents. The facts of the case are as follows. To refresh your memory, this case involves a home at 37 Cimarron Drive, hit by lightning July 11th, 2014. The case was first heard on May 6th, 2015, and then again as Massey on October 7th, 2015. The original order was signed on May 12, 2015. The owner was then sent an order of noncompliance and request for foreclosure. The matter was brought before the March 9th Code Board. Property in violation from May 23, 2015 through yesterday, March 8, 2016, remains of noncompliance a total of 291 days. As of March 8th, the running fine lien totals $14,550. Based upon testimony evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. Authorize the city to pursue foreclosure and authorize city attorney to initiate foreclosure proceedings.
Members, anyone here representing DevelopCo, Inc.?
Members of the board, I just want to make sure that as an attorney for the city, this is consistent with the Florida statute section 162.09 and is codified in your city code. And as you have heard from the testimony, it has been more than 3 months from the filing of the lien, which is the Massey order, as all of you are aware, and it does remain unpaid. We're simply asking for this board to authorize city attorney's office to initiate foreclosure.
Thank you, Mr. Rushman. Come forward, sir. Please state your name.
My name is Khalid Munir.
And the address, sir.
Representing DevelopCo. This particular property is a very unique property, and we've been trying to get a handle on it because it was originally built by the owner, and it was built in a unique way in the sense that he bought the raw materials, the design, even the workers from Switzerland to build it. Now, it was hit by lightning, and we've been trying to get somebody to recreate the roof that was there originally as per the requirement of the insurance company. So we've been working on it, and we have located somebody who is going to redo the roof. So I just want to request 60 days to complete all the work that is required, so we can move on, because it's been under contract for sale a couple of times. But because of the problem, the whole deals have fallen through. So we just need 60 days to complete all the work that is required, that was hit by lightning, and then we'll take care of that.
So essentially what you're asking is for the board to postpone the order on this particular case for 60 days, and you're going to repair the damage?
We will repair everything, and in those 60-day period, I will keep the city informed on the progress also.
Mr. Reichman, or staff from the city of Palm Coast, one or the other, what is the city's feeling in reference to that?
Well, I would remind the board that, as you've heard from the testimony of the code enforcement officer, that this matter has been outstanding for 291 days. And all we're asking you, I mean, this is the third time this case has come before this board. The first was, nothing has changed. I mean, the first case was when this board found the property to be in violation. Many months after that, the city brought this matter back to you again, because nothing had happened. And that was the Massey hearing, where you determined the amount of the fine, and the fine continues to run. Nothing has been done. It's been 291 days, and it's the city's position that nothing will happen unless the city brings all pressure to bear on this property owner, and therefore we do not wish for there to be any further delay, and would request that you simply grant us the authority to initiate foreclosure, to make sure that this property either is fixed one way or the other, either by the property owner. Certainly the property owners can still fix the property. Foreclosure is not a matter of simply filing a piece of paper and getting a final judgment. It takes time. But it's the city's position that unless we move forward with the process, the people that live in this neighborhood are not going to see a remedy.
Can I answer that, please?
Go ahead, sir.
In the 290 days which you mentioned, I'd like to bring to your attention the fact that I have been to the city offices within that period for at least 3 or 4 days informing them of the progress that we are making. And I disagree that no progress has been made, because if you go and look at the inside of the house there has been a lot of progress in cleaning, getting rid of mildew, and stuff like that. The major problem is the roof, and as I pointed out, because of the unique condition of the house, in that there is nothing there which was purchased locally, so we even have to buy stuff from overseas. To get the house back in order. So I would request, I will keep the city informed within that 60 days how we are doing. I will submit an estimate that we already have to repair the roof. We were there 2 days ago. We took a civil engineer there also to have a look at the structure. So I can assure you within the 60-day period something will be done.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Yes. Go ahead.
It seems to me, if memory serves, the last time you were before us, you had told us that the property was about to be, had a contract of sale on it, and it fell through at the last minute. And I also seem to remember that you told us you had been reimbursed by the insurance company for the repairs. Is that correct?
Yeah, the owners have been reimbursed, and so now they're in a position.
So then,
and that was another problem that took time.
Well, it seems to me that if you've been reimbursed for the repairs and it's been 290 days, that frankly, if you intended to do it, it would have been done.
Well, my answer to that is, as I keep pointing out, it is a very unique house. I don't know how many of you actually seen the house. There's nothing like that in Palm Coast, simply because the way it was built. We can't find no plans. It was the original owner, he just gave the key to the bank and he kind of disappeared one day. So we can't find the plans. The civil engineers and the roof guys, they want some kind of plan to so they can make a start on it. So that is what was taking time, but now we have sorted all those problems out. I was with a civil engineer there 2 days ago, and we are ready to move. So 60 days is all I'm asking this. I've been a resident of Palm Coast for the last 24 years, and I can assure you something will be done because I have taken matters into my own hands from the owners.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
I just want to make sure that I understand. If the board elects to accept the city's recommendation to begin the foreclosure process, there is nothing that would preclude them or the owners from going forward with the repairs. Is that
absolutely
correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is pretty much an incentive, if you will, to get the repairs done?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. It's just a matter of process. If you grant the city's request to direct us to initiate foreclosure, we're going to do a title search. And then we're going to prepare a foreclosure complaint. We're going to file it. We're going to get it served. And then there's a court process that has to work its way through. And if nothing happens for that period of time, then ultimately after 90 to 120 days or whatever that process takes, then the final result would be a final judgment of foreclosure. Every minute, every hour, every day during that process, this gentleman can come in and fix the property and come back to the city, alert the city that the violation has been cured, and then we'll come back to you and we'll report that, and then he'll request for a reduction. I imagine a reduction. Well, actually, it'd have to go to the city council for reduction in the lien, but it can be worked out. But there is a lien right now. That's done. There's no appeal. So all we're doing is trying to make sure that the violation is cured. This is the next step in the process, and the entire process has one objective: fix the violation. And that's all we're doing.
And just remember, just because you authorize foreclosure doesn't necessarily mean the city actually files it. They may, well, but they don't necessarily. You're authorizing the city attorney too.
So what I would direct this gentleman is, if you are so inclined to direct us to initiate foreclosure, that this gentleman needs to, as soon as possible, let us know that the property's been fixed up before we get to that point in the process where we actually file the lawsuit. All it does from a practical standpoint, unless nothing happens and we foreclose, it increases his expenses. Because ultimately the payoff is going to be the amount of the fine, the lien, which is continuing to accrue. And if we do the foreclosure, then you're looking at some extra costs and attorney's fees.
Are there any more questions?
Have you filed for a building permit to repair this home?
Well, the new roofer we have, he's getting all the paperwork done, so it should be in the next 10 days or so.
You would file a complete set of plans to rebuild this roof, retruss it.
Yes.
Retile it.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. We
and
have
you can
everything.
Do that in 60 days.
Yes, within 60 days.
You would have it finished and ready for CO.
Yep. That's what the roofer has assured us.
Sir.
One of my concerns is this, is that in 60 days you could apply for a permit, and we'd have to wait 6 months before any action be taken on that permit, and you could let it sit the way it is right now. And you have demonstrated for 291 days that you've let it sit the way you want it to sit, even though you've been paid by the insurance company to repair this. That's what you buy insurance for, and I'm sure the insurance company remitted a check to you for payment of this so that it would be repaired, so that you can keep your equity in this particular piece of property. I'm having a tough time listening to what you have to say that doesn't generate anything solid. I think 2 days ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 291 days ago, you could have applied for a permit to get this fixed. You did not. So now that the foreclosure comes up, you've got more excuses. We're not here to listen to excuses. We're here to determine whether you're in violation, and that has already happened. You've been determined to be in violation of the city code. I don't see any reason why the city should not foreclose on that property.
I think you're missing the point, because as I keep repeating, it is not the question of money. It is a question having to recreate the roof as it was. Because if one of you visits the house, you will see inside of the house is very unique. We could not even, the front door key was stuck. We went to every locksmith. Nobody could recreate that key. It was built into, it's not a question of money. It's a question of finding somebody. We went through so many builders and so on, trying to just duplicate what was there before. Because we had a lease with option to buy a contract on it.
But sir, that's exactly the point. You're in the development business, and surely you knew on day one when you acquired this property, you just stated the uniqueness of that property in Palm Coast. Surely you knew when you acquired the property, when it was hit by lightning in July of 2014. I mean, I'm not a construction expert, but I can look at that roof and know that it's not the typical roof that's here in Palm Coast. And you've had 291 days, and you would have known from day one, from acquiring that property, the uniqueness of the structure, that it might require specialized contractors to come in. You've known that. You've been paid insurance proceeds to repair the home. Neighbors are complaining. It's been before this board two times, and there is nothing that suggests to me that giving you 60 more days is going to kickstart any motivation to fix that home. So I am inclined to agree with what the city is proposing.
Madam, that house, let me tell you the history of that house. That house was, the original owner, he spent $1.6 million on that house. $1.6 million. My client, they bought it in the foreclosure from the bank for about $300,000. Without even looking at the house, they thought it was a good deal, something for $1.5 million and $300,000. So as you stated that we bought the house with a good intention, but circumstances changed. The air conditioning went. We couldn't find anybody who deals with that kind of air conditioning. So we did have problem, but that's all past. All I'm asking is 60 days. You waited 291 days, so I think 60 days. That I am assuring you, something will happen. I don't see why we can't have another 60 days.
We have a couple other people. Like Barbara, if you would come forward, you're standing there.
We just wanted to let the board know that we have the building official here. If you have any questions of the building official in this matter, as far as what the status is,
building official, come forward. What is the process that would have to happen before this place was corrected?
They would just need to obtain a permit, get an engineer to show if they are going to replace the trusses. Truss manufacturer, if it's hand frame, engineer just tells us what size the hand frame rafters would be, your clips. This roof is not unique to just this building. There's plenty of clay tile roofs all over Palm Coast. We have very good roofing contractors in this city that can handle this type of clay tile. We've got very good contractors that can handle trusses, hand framing. Structurally, this is not unique to just this building, and it can be done. If we can have the plans, if they're wanting to replace the whole truss system to the whole roof, they just come in with the truss system, show us what they're going to do, what clips they have, signed, sealed plans, and permit. It can be done in a matter of 3 to 4 days.
If the board decides to vote for foreclosure on this particular property, will it hinder, from your point of view as a building official, the process of getting a permit to get this fixed?
No, sir.
Okay. Are there any further questions from the board? Barbara, did you want to speak?
Yes.
That being said, if there are no questions from the board, I'll hear a motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 21, Case number 2015051, 317. It's a Massey case. The City of Palm Coast versus Dominic and Janice A. DeZego. 5 Conti Court, Palm Coast Code Section 24-159A, Swale Maintenance.
Good morning, Mike Haddon from City of Palm Coast. Respondent is present. I'm Manning Evans, the Board's Chief Composite 1, proving proper service. Copy the original board order, along with numerous photos. This case was heard on the second day of December 2015. The order was signed on December 7th, giving 30 days to comply, which have been January 7th, 2016, or a fine of $50 per day. The property is in violation from January 7th, 2015 through March 8th, 2016, a total of 62 days at $50 a day for a total fine of $3,100, with the fine to continue until the property comes into compliance. Based upon testimony and evidence from this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. Massey Motion G, still in violation. Administrative cost of $69.50.
Is Dominic or Janice A. DeZego present?
Yes.
Come forward, sir. State your name and your address.
My name is Dominic DeZego. I live at 5 Conti Court, Palm Coast, Florida.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. So when I was in here last time, I stated that I was not sure exactly what the violation was or what they wanted me to do. And you recommended that I go and meet with the engineers. And so I went immediately following the hearing to speak to those folks. There was no one available to speak to me, but they did send somebody out about 2 days later. I met the gentleman out there. He explained to me what my options were, and I said that I would get a contractor in to do exactly what he wanted me to do. So I got with a contractor. His name is Blake. I think the name of his excavation company is I don't have the name of it here. But he went with the city engineers as well. They all came out. We were there together. We agreed on what was going to happen. As it turns out, that the city had required me to get a binding lot agreement done to resolve this problem. I've been trying to do a binding lot agreement since 2014, and the rule that the city had given me in 2014 was that the bank had to sign off because I have a mortgage on the one lot and the other lot I do not have a mortgage on, that the bank had to agree that I could bring this additional collateral into my mortgage. Well, I started off with City Mortgage. Before I got the letter from them, they sold my mortgage to Greentree. Before I got the letter from Greentree, they sold it to Ditech. So I finally realized that the only way I could fix this problem was to remortgage the entire property. So I went through that process. It cost me $5,000. I got it remortgaged, and I came back to the city. And Constance tells me that, oh, we got rid of that rule because it was too difficult for people to accomplish. So I said, well, I did it anyway. I got it done. So we did the binding lot agreement. Well, we agreed to revive the paperwork for the binding lot agreement. It took the city a month to get the paperwork together for me. I was here every Friday. I sat in the city planning chair and waited to see somebody every Friday for a month. They finally got the paperwork to me. I guess it was about 3 weeks ago. Following that, I went back to the contractor, and he said we have to have a boundary survey to proceed with a building permit to fix the problem. So I went to a land survey company in Ormond. They delivered a survey to me on Friday. On Monday, I contacted the planning office to take it to the next step, and Constance was out sick. I never got a call back. I showed up early this morning. I sat in the chair again. They said, okay, the boundary survey looks okay. you can now mark it up and file for the permit. So I immediately contacted the contractor, and he said that if I give him the boundary survey today, we would file a permit, probably by Friday, or if not next week. I was never told that I was going to be fined any $50 per day. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. So I think that I've been really forthcoming in accomplishing whatever it is the city has asked me to do. If you throw a $3,000 bill around my neck, I think it's rather unfair, and frankly, I can't pay it. So I'll have to do something different. I don't know what, but I'll do something different. So this is where we are, and I'm doing exactly what you asked me to do. I think throwing $3,000 at me is really not the right thing to do for anyone.
All right, I think that weighs a lot into the decision, Mr. DeSego.
Yes.
Are there any other questions from the board members?
Mr. DeSego, are you saying that you were completely unaware of the $50 a day fine?
That's correct.
So then you weren't notified on two different occasions, and you weren't notified of the Massey hearing, and you weren't notified of the response to the Massey hearing, all these things that have to be in writing?
I don't know. I don't know when that $50 fine was levied. I really don't know.
If I may, I certainly am not going to contest anything that the gentleman says about the efforts that he has made to bring the property into compliance, and quite frankly, the city appreciates all the efforts that this gentleman has made to bring the property into compliance. However, with regard to the process, I would suggest to the board that this is not the original hearing. This is the Massey hearing. Massey hearing follows from the original hearing, which the gentleman indicated he was present, and that would have created and caused the issuance and service of an order. And in fact, when at that hearing, I'm sure you all know, the request which is stated by the chairperson at the end of the hearing is that any respondent, like this respondent, would have whatever number of days to bring the property into compliance, or if the property is not brought into compliance, that a fine will start and run in the amount of, this is our standard order. And that's what this board did the last time we were here. And that order was memorialized and was signed by the chairperson and was sent. So the city has complied with all the legal requirements under our code and under Chapter 162. So there is clearly record evidence and notice to this property owner. It happened in person, verbally here at the last meeting, and of course it would have been memorialized and put in writing at the last. So the point is, we're here today on Massey. In other words, we're here really just to determine how much, whether the property's in compliance. I think the evidence is clear. The property's not yet in compliance, notwithstanding the efforts, which we appreciate, by the property owner to bring it into compliance. The fine has run, the number of days that the fine has continued to run, and then to memorialize that. So I'll defer to your counsel on your options, but the city's position is that we've done everything that's legally required of us, and we're prepared to ask this board to enter an order memorializing the amount of the fine.
And you can do that. You can also, if you decide you want to extend the compliance date, you can also do that.
Okay.
And remember, if I could, I'm sorry, I mean, it's at some point in time, again, all we're after is compliance. Let me start. Everything I say here today, that's the objective of the city, is to bring to compliance. Not the fine is just a tool towards that objective. So at some point in time, this gentleman, if it comes into compliance, can come in and ask this board, or a board, or the council, to reduce the fine with the same information and testimony that he's provided to you today. Now, the only distinction would be that if we have the Massey hearing today and you enter the order, then it turns from a fine into a lien, and that would remove from your jurisdiction the ability to reduce the fine.
If we were to extend the compliance date, then this gentleman has the option to come back before us and ask for a reduction in the fine. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, no. If you extend the compliance date, it essentially means the fine doesn't run until
right.
whatever date you extend it to, if it's not in compliance by that date.
Right. Okay.
So the previous compliance date is wiped out. The new compliance date is set. The $50 would start the day after that if it's not in compliance.
Okay.
If you go ahead and do the order imposing fine lien, Once it's recorded, it becomes the council, but if it still hasn't been recorded, it's your jurisdiction if it's in compliance and a reduction request is made. So those are your options, essentially.
Okay. As the board, if are we permitted to extend this case for 30 days?
Yeah.
As this gentleman has demonstrated good faith effort to get this thing done, although he's got other problems, would the board be capable of extending this for 30 days? And by then, hope that we have the permits and everything in line, which is going to extend it for 6 months, and then we don't end up putting a lien on this person's house, which is just going to cause a more difficult financial situation for them.
Yes, you can do that. It keeps the lien, the fine amount, running until the Massey hearing is heard again, at which point, if it's in compliance, you could also then choose to reduce as you see fit. Okay. So that is another option, yes.
Mr. Chairman,
other questions from the board members?
Is 30 days adequate for you to, at this point, get your permits?
Yeah. I was just texting my contractor, and he's going to meet with me tomorrow. We're right down to the wire here, and the reason for it is, frankly, because the city took a long time to get my paperwork together. Okay. And you know, I sat there every Friday. I was very polite and very patient because I never dreamed in a million years that I would be accruing fines while I was waiting from the city, while I was waiting for the city. I just, you know.
I understand your comment. I think the city has acknowledged your due diligence in trying
okay.
to come into compliance, whatever, and the board understands that. I was here and you at your last hearing when we imposed the $50 per day fine. I don't know why you
didn't
hear
really
that.
I didn't understand that was the situation. I really didn't. I thought the situation was if I met with the city engineers and we made a determination of what to do, that everything would be okay. Maybe it's a little bit of...
I think at this point, the discussion of the fine is something that we'll deal with in the future, evidently. And
well, there's other avenues that we can go about.
Exactly.
To,
maybe
take care of the fine, whatever the case may be.
In answer to your question, he indicated to me that it would just take him like a week to get the paperwork filed now that we have a boundary survey. I have a survey here. It's dated Friday. They kept me waiting 3 weeks. Before they actually came out, they said, "Oh, we're really busy. There's a lot going on." And you know, so,
Chairman, given what obviously has occurred in this situation and the evidence presented, I would move that we extend the compliance date 60 days, not 30 days. There's been too many unknowns at this point, and who knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Thank you.
I would move that we extend the compliance date for 60 days.
Mr. Copeland, do you mean extend the compliance date or continue this Massey hearing?
Extend the compliance date.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to extend the compliance date. Do I hear a second?
I second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
So ordered. All right, sir, you've got 60 days.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We appreciate your effort also. I know what... getting a permit's all about. Sometimes there are situations that come up that extend it. But please continue your
due diligence.
Persistence on getting this taken care of.
I am the most persistent human being you'll ever meet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Wow. That was hard. What a mess.
Okay, Art. Our next case, ladies and gentlemen on the board, is AI-4. It's case number 2015-040331. It's, again, a foreclosure. City of Palm Coast versus the Golf Group of Palm Coast, LLC, 398 Lakeview Boulevard, Palm Coast Code Section 15-108D, Weeds and Overgrowth.
Mr. Chairman, if I could introduce this matter. This is just like the matter we handled not too long ago. Different set of facts, obviously, but basically the same process. This one has come to you several times before. This has to do with just the overgrown conditions. This is the Matanzas Golf Course. This is the closed Matanzas Golf Course, and this is the case, and you may remember this, where there was the original hearing in which the city presented evidence that the property was not being maintained. It was overgrown. And the property owners were there at that time, and you may remember there was just some extended discussion about exactly what was required to comply with the city code. Not that it didn't have to be maintained as a golf course, but it certainly had to be brush cut so that the weeds and the overgrowth were kept down. And then this matter came again before you, and I do not believe that the property owners were there at that hearing, which was the Massey hearing. And the fine was quantified. This was in November that all of you heard this, and you entered the order. It was recorded, so we have the lien. And again, this is a matter of complying with the statutes, and it's been more than 90 days, so we're just here back with you. Now, a couple developments. There's other matters out there with regard to the property. But that's not what we're here on today. This is just narrow. This is just the request to initiate the foreclosure. And the property owner's here, and you're going to hear him say, or probably hear them say, that there's been some civil matters filed, and we'll deal with those. But that's not what we're here on today. So just want to make sure you have a little context.
Thank you.
Good morning. Code Enforcement Officer Michael Esposito for the City of Palm Coast. For the record, the respondents are present. I am entering into evidence the city's composite one, providing proper service, and a copy of the original board order, along with several photographs. The facts of the case are as follows. This case was first heard on August 5th, 2015, then again as a Massey hearing on November 4th, 2015, which is well beyond the 90-day period to start foreclosure proceedings. The original order of noncompliance was signed on August 8th. The owner was then sent an order of noncompliance and request to foreclose, and that the matter would be brought before the March 9th, 2016 code board, which is today. The property was in violation from August 27th, 2015 through March 8th, 2016, and remains in noncompliance. As of March 8th, the running fine lien totals are $97,500. Based on the testimony and the evidence submitted in the case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following: authorize the city to pursue foreclosure, and authorize the city attorney to initiate foreclosure proceedings.
Thank you. Is there anybody here from the Gulf Group of Palm Coast LLC or a representative for them?
Yes.
Not if he's an attorney.
Okay.
But if your client wants to speak, I think he came in late, so he'll need to be sworn.
Oh, you know what? He did come in after the other.
You and each of you solemnly swear and affirm that the testimony you're about to present shall be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Good afternoon, or morning, rather, ladies and gentlemen. Christopher Wickersham, Jr. I represent the Golf Group of Palm Coast, LLC, and we're here on a request. The notice of hearing that we got is sort of ambiguous. It states a hearing on overgrown conditions and to foreclose, so to the extent that it states that, we'll address both. The overgrown condition, well, to begin with, they were remedied, and they've been maintained since that time. The golf course has been mowed repeatedly, and it's been continued to be mowed, and the overgrowth, which was there prior to our acquisition of the property, has been cut, and it's been maintained as cut. I have some pictures I'd like to share, if I could pass them around. Mr. Reisman, I'll present them to you.
That's fine. Grant to the board attorney over here.
Okay. Sure. Oh, I'm sorry. The first is one of the things that we were ordered to do was to secure the property and put up access gates to prevent trespassers. We did that. We have photographs of the gates. The remainder of what we were ordered to do that we're here on today resulted in overgrown underbrush and grass. This golf course has been closed for 8 years. We've owned it for, you know, a year or less that had accumulated since that time. and the photographs show that it's been, you know, maintained. The overgrowth has been cut. There's photos of the work in progress. And the city of Palm Coast was then notified that this had occurred and came out to reinspect. And there's a picture in there of a lake with some maybe 1 foot to 6 inch or less high weeds around it. And they wrote back and stated that you're actually not in compliance because of the weeds around the lake, which on my way into this building this morning, I picked this out of the sidewalk. Is very similar to the weeds around the lake. I mean, you're dealing with a 280-acre property. It's sort of unreasonable to expect that the entire thing is going to be entirely weed-free. This is Florida. A weed can grow in a day. And, again, this is from City Hall.
Do you want to enter that into evidence?
Yes, actually. If I continue.
That's all right.
We would submit to you that, yes, there are some weeds around the lake. They're less than, you know, 6 inches or so high, and that wasn't particularly a valid basis to deny that the property was in compliance. So we have a factual dispute as to that, which we would have raised except for the notice issue. The reason that Golf Group of Palm Coast LLC did not appear at the hearing, as Mr. Eichmann explained, is because of defective notice. It was posted on the property, which is a vacant golf course where nobody lives, and obviously the city code enforcement department is aware of this, being no house there. And then it was mailed to the old address, which, again, it's our responsibility to update the address with you all. However, there's some mitigating circumstances, which is that there's a dialogue by telephone, email, and letter that's been going on this entire time with the code enforcement department and Golf Group of Palm Coast. They've corresponded back and forth prior to the issuances of the notice of violation, prior to the issuances of the notice of hearing that went to this P.O. box, and they had actual notice of how to contact Golf Group of Palm Coast LLC, and in fact we're doing so on a near daily basis via the email addresses and mailing addresses that were provided to them by Golf Group. But for whatever reason, this hearing notice they chose to mail to the post office box, which then ultimately did get forwarded. And it was received by Golf Group after being forwarded. But by the time it got signed for, after it was forwarded, we called the same day and were told that the appellate deadlines had already run and there was nothing we could do about it. So that is what Mr. Reichman is referring to when he says there's been a civil lawsuit filed, is we believe there's been a denial of due process because we were never given notice of the hearing or we would have showed up to present the evidence I'm presenting to you now had we been offered the opportunity. So that's issue number one. Issue number two is the zoning of this property. There's been some discussion as to whether we're able to maintain it as a golf course or whether we're able to maintain it as vacant agriculturally zoned property. And I don't think that's ever come up, but whether we have to be kept to the stringent standard of an active golf course. The reality of it is under the City of Palm Coast Land Use and Development Code, subsection, 2.1401, any planned unit development or master plan that's submitted and approved that isn't built out and completed within 5 years, absent an extension by the council, reverts back to its original zoning. The original development approval order was entered, recorded in the public records, July 19th of 2007, and no approval has been recorded in the public records and no approval in any board minutes that we can find was ever entered for any extension. And so what ended up happening with the golf course is it is reverted back to its original zoning prior to the filing of the zoning application per the plan master development. And that would be agricultural property. So we think given that, which the code compliance department doesn't want to acknowledge, again, they continue to attempt to apply criteria as though this is still a golf course. And it's not. It's reverted back to what it was before the development application was filed, for the City of Palm Coast Zone Land Development Code. And I guess what I'm saying is, based on what the zoning was that it has reverted to, the criteria that we're being held to is ridiculous. I mean, we're keeping this thing mowed at an expense of like $20,000 every 2 months, you know, to less than a foot. And these criteria don't apply to what the actual zoning is that the city has to this day never acknowledged. And so that's also the subject of the civil lawsuit that's been filed, which, frankly, we would dismiss if we could get a hearing on the original violations that we didn't receive timely notice of. And so for these reasons, we would argue that foreclosing on the property based on this lien that we contend we had no notice of, and which is based on violations assessed under the wrong segment of the code compliant or the municipal code, would be not only a gross injustice, but that it's illegal. And so for these reasons, we would request the city of Palm Coast not at this time authorize foreclosure of the property, which would ultimately result in increased legal expenses both to us and to the city in the event we prevail. So with that, I'll turn the floor over to rebuttal.
Thank you very much. Correct me if I'm wrong. There was some financial wranglings that were corrected about a month or so ago or 2 months ago, that there was other liens or whatever on the property that had to be...
Yes, sir. There was, yeah. There was an old mortgage, and the developer, I guess, that wanted to buy it, but we outbid at the sale, bought the old mortgage and came and foreclosed on it, and then we paid the mortgage off. So that has been satisfied, and frankly, we believe him to be the initiator of the code complaints, and that this is probably plan B to send it through another auction. And frankly, we have the funds to pay the fine, but we don't think it's just. We weren't given notice of the hearing, or we would have showed up to tell you at the time that what had been asked of us had been done, A, and B, that what had been asked of us isn't even required under what the property is actually zoned as, because the zoning reverted. This golf course has not been in use for 8 years. We bought it within the past year, but taking even the latest possible date, the zoning has reverted on this thing, per the LDC, no later than like 3.5 years ago. So it's back to agricultural.
The pictures that you submitted, sir, were they taken recently, within the past week?
Yes, sir. This has all been going on in the last, less than maybe 6 months. I mean, this has all been, and in fact, there's a mower out there and a crew there today that's maintaining the golf course. We're at our expense continuing to maintain this thing as though it's a golf course, even though it's not zoned as it. And frankly, we probably could sue for damages, but all we did was sue for injunctive relief. And we've been kind of nice about it. Mr. Reichman may disagree. However, again, we would submit for all of these reasons. All we're asking for at this time is to de-escalate this, give us a hearing on the violations, because we can prove that we complied. We can prove, obviously, it's a matter of public record that the city is applying the wrong criteria and evaluating the property for code enforcement, and has been from the beginning, and that this is just grossly inappropriate to proceed with a foreclosure at this time.
Are there any further questions? Sorry, any questions from the board members?
Yeah, there seems to be two issues in my mind that we need to hear more from the city. I'd like to hear from Ms. Grossman the issue of timely notice, and I'd like to hear from Mr. Reichman the issue of the zoning. First, the timely notice.
If I could respond. First of all, I want to compliment Mr. Rickersham on his drama. I really appreciate the weed. That was entertaining. Having said that, I would like to respond to a couple of his arguments. Moving backwards with his most recent, there is indeed a lawsuit that has been filed, and it does seek damages. So I want to make sure that is clear.
So I'll state we will waive those, and I'll state that on the record. If we're able to de-escalate this, we'll dismiss this.
I'm just trying to make sure this board is understand what exactly is out there, as opposed to what the positions of the parties are. Secondly, as far as the code does not apply, the property owners contended that if they'd had the opportunity to raise this argument at the initial hearing, that they would have, and at this point in time, it's unfair for them. It's a gross injustice, I think, or something like that. And if you may remember, as Mr. Wickham has already indicated, and as I indicated, and as the record will reflect, this is our third hearing. This is the third time we've been here. And the first hearing, the property owner was here. And it was at that hearing where the property owner certainly had the ability to contend that the city's position, that this needs to be mowed in a certain fashion that other than agricultural because of these zoning issues, could have been raised at that time. That argument could have been made at that time. The property owner had legal notice. Property owner was there. And the property owner apparently did not choose to make that argument at that time. There was significant discussion about, at that hearing, as Mr. Wickersham indicated, that there was this property, and I think that the city agreed to that, and that was consistent with the order that this board entered at that time, that the property owner, the current property owner, did not have to make it look like a golf course.
You know, they didn't have to mow the greens and fertilize and creep the bunkers, all that, but they just had to keep it mowed down. And he's saying, no, that doesn't apply. We can let it become agricultural. We can just let it go back to nature. And that was something that if that argument needed to be made, sir, it needed to be made at that point in time. That's the process. And if they felt there was something wrong about this board's decision under Chapter 162, they had the right to appeal that decision from that August hearing in 2015. Now, as to the other issue that the property owner is raising with regard to the lack of notice of the second hearing, which was the Massey hearing, which was in November, the property owner has admitted that the city complied with the notice requirements under 162, which is to post the property and to send the notice in the mail by certified and regular mail to the last known address. And he said, well, we should have notified the city, and ultimately it did get to us. The point is the city has complied with the legal requirements under Chapter 162 for all notices, including today's hearing. So certainly, you know, and the only other thing that I would suggest that we allow the city to present testimony as far as, because again, bottom line, what we're here for today is to make sure the property's in compliance. So if the property owner is contending that it's in compliance, I would ask the board to let the city testify about their position on whether the property's in compliance. And we're prepared to do that, if the chairman would allow.
I do have some short rebuttal to the legal arguments that were raised, if the board would entertain me. The first hearing, there's a public nuisance factor to a golf course that has had no maintenance done in 8 years, which we acknowledged at the time, and we were at that time arguing over the standard to be applied. So to say that hadn't been raised is not true, and Mr. Richardson brought that up at that hearing, and there's numerous email correspondence back and forth with the city arguing that issue. In terms of whether or not the zoning had reverted in that exact terminology, probably had not been raised, and the reason is we had just bought it. Nobody really had much of a chance. This was a public auction to look into any of this stuff at the time of that hearing. But we did acknowledge that, you know, when you have 6-foot-high grass and all of these other things going on, and wild animals and et cetera, there's a public nuisance factor to it. And for that reason, at that time, we elected to comply and spent really megabucks doing it, because the condition of it when we bought it was horrendous. And so after that had occurred, what the issue is that led to the second hearing is that the city went out and reinspected. And all of this has been done. We're talking like $30,000 worth of just grass cutting and debris removal and tree removal and on and on and on, and looked at weeds that are, you can see them in the picture, about this high, and said, well, you're not in compliance because there's still weeds by the lake. And so that's the point at which we contend that we've now moved into the area where, you know, this is no longer a golf course. It has reverted to its original zoning. And while we acknowledge we probably needed to remove all of what was there before, we did. And, you know, at that point in time, what led to the second hearing, not the first one, is where we contend that the reverted zoning becomes an issue, because they're now citing us for weeds that are this high. You can see them in the picture. And so it wouldn't be accurate to say that we would have raised that at the first hearing, because it wasn't an issue yet. I mean, at that point, you could walk out there and the grass was higher than you were made. We acknowledged something had to be done about it, even though the city, for whatever reason, hadn't hassled the prior owner in 8 years, which is, again, why we think the guy that lost at the auction is who called. However, we complied. And the bottom line is they just said we didn't comply based on applying an incorrect standard based on it continuing to be a golf course, albeit a closed one. It's not a golf course. The zoning was reverted. It was a golf course. But anyway, that was the second hearing, not the first. And, you know, again, that was the one we did not get notice for. We would have appeared at that hearing and defended, obviously, given the amount of money on the line here. There's still 125 buildable lots attached to this. We would never have simply skipped a hearing if we had actually had notice. I mean, that's the bottom line. Number two is the last known address, you know, is what's stated in the statute. And so while they sent the notice to the P.O. box that was listed on the deed for the owner, they didn't have no basis to send it to that address. They did have a basis. There's all this correspondence since then between the City of Palm Coast and Golf Group of Palm Coast where they are writing back to us. I mean, so clearly they're aware of a more recent address than the one they ultimately used to send the notice of hearing. And so, you know, per the definition of the statute, the last known address wasn't what they mailed it to. And, you know, we've still got that issue. And again, all we're asking for at this point is to sort of de-escalate this. We'll dismiss the lawsuit. We can all agree on what the standards are, because we've continued to ask and have really been given no clear answer as to how the city intends to interpret what it expects us to do. Clearly, there has to be some middle ground between letting it revert to a pine forest, which we don't intend to do and haven't done, and maintaining it as a golf course, which is what the city is, you know, requesting that we do. So, again, for these reasons, you know, legal reasons, irrespective of the testimony, we didn't receive notice of that second hearing. They're applying the wrong zoning standard under anybody's interpretation. And, you know, the address that they used was not the most recent one that they had, because they'd actually been writing back to us at a newer address. So, and with that, I will turn the floor over, and I will have rebuttal testimony on the issues that are raised.
Go ahead.
With all due respect, I must disagree with a few of the things that you said. I personally chaired the first hearing. There was extensive discussion about the standard to which you should be held. The city's position initially was, in fact, what you were saying, that they were asking to be held to the standard of a golf course. By the end of the hearing, there was, in fact, a standard established. And that standard was very simply I don't have the exact wording of it, but it is documented that you would simply need to keep it, I believe it was mowed to 4 inches or whatever it happens to be, and you were not required to maintain it to the standards of a golf course. These are the facts. That's from the first hearing. At the second hearing, you keep referring to pictures. Now, you've given evidence to us of pictures that have no dates on them. We have no idea what they mean. I can't consider those pictures as evidence. We do have evidence from the last hearing that, upon request, I'm sure the city can show us the pictures from that last hearing, when you implied just now that at that time you'd have been here and you would have proven to us that it was up to standards. And you continue to say that you don't know what the standards are, even though at the first hearing when Mr. Richardson was present, they were established. And the city did not get what they wanted. This board relaxed the standards at that point so that you could comply, understanding that it would not have been fair for us to ask you to maintain it as a golf course.
If I may address your comments, sir. Beginning with the standard that was established at the first hearing, with which we initially sought to comply, mowing the reverted zoning property to 4 inches is not a condition for the zoning that this property actually carries following the reversion 3.5 years ago.
But that zoning is under dispute right now.
No, it isn't, sir. Under your own land use and development code, absent a voted on approval by you that's then filed in the public records, the zoning has reverted to its original use. That's what section, I'll read it to you, if you want the exact verbatim language.
Okay.
Upon the 5-year term being completed or a phase of the master plan development not being developed in accordance with the phasing schedule set forth in the master plan development agreement, the city council may, after obtaining a recommendation from the planning and development regulation board, extend the term of the master plan development agreement or the master plan development phase. Absent an extension approval by means of a development order within 3 months of the date of expiration, the property shall revert to the zoning which was assigned to the property prior to the master plan development district rezoning. A property owner may initiate a request for an extension prior to expiration. This is section 2.14.01 of the City of Palm Coast Land Development Code. No extension was granted. It reverted. I mean, that is unarguable. And moving forward to the hearing, we acknowledge that the City of Palm Coast imposed on us a 4-inch mowing standard. What we would contend today is that based on the zoning of the property, even at that time, that standard was unlawful. The property had reverted, and at that point, I don't see any basis to require agricultural property to be cut, the entirety of it, to less than 4 inches. I mean, there is no such requirement. We attempted to comply anyway, but there is no requirement.
Did you accept that condition at
no,
that hearing?
No, we didn't, sir. And if I might say something, Mr. Copeland, we did not do anything
don't
about 4 inches.
Been sworn in.
Oh, I was sworn in, sir.
Okay.
Let me introduce him. This is Matt Richardson. He's one of the co-owners of Golf Group of Palm Coast LLC, and he's the fellow who's on the ground directing the workers and the mowers to maintain this thing. So that's the basis of his knowledge, and with that, I would tender him I guess informal, it's like Robert's rules, so you can, I guess, just talk.
No, that's fine. But the 4 inches, you're absolutely incorrect.
I said I thought 4 inches. It may not
be.
But the point was, we did not mandate that you maintain to the standards of a golf course.
That is correct. And if you remember, I believe the attorney said in open that we still needed to come together and figure out what the minimum standard would be. That's exactly
the bottom line, I think, is what we're arguing, and not arguing, but what happened is that the city told, you know, Golf Group of Palm Coast that that was the standard. Golf Group of Palm Coast didn't come to the city and suggest that that was the standard and accept that standard. We did it simply to avoid further losses and fines, but that wasn't something that, like, we suggested and accepted. And, in fact, it's still under dispute to this day. And there's all of this correspondence history back and forth with code enforcement over what the applicable standard is that continues as we speak.
Could we get that correspondence and evidence, please?
Yes, sir, I can.
And Mr. Copeland.
Well, if I could, Seth, I think I need to say a couple of things. Please.
Mr. Reichman, if you could. At the point we're at right now, Marcia, if you could give us some input.
What you're being asked here today and what you're hearing on is a request by the city for you to authorize foreclosure, the city attorney's office to foreclose. That's it. You're not reopening your other case. You've got testimony here today that the respondent was there for the initial hearing, understood the discussion about 4 inches, whether he agreed or not, and did not appeal it within 30 days. So that's neither here nor there. What you're here about is the foreclosure and whether you want to grant the city's request or not. You can do one or the other. You've heard testimony about there's a civil lawsuit. You know, if you grant or whether you do not, you know, a court may override or not anything that had previously happened. But that's not your jurisdiction today. Your jurisdiction is to discuss whether you're going to authorize foreclosure by the city attorney or not.
The bottom line is there asking, I'm sorry.
Any further questions from the board members? Mr. Reichman, if I could, you were going to make a statement before?
No, my thunder was stolen.
I would like to
do I hear,
if that's okay, if I may
all the questions being asked, everything that's been heard, do I hear a motion on the board?
Sir, I would like to state one final reply to what the city attorney informed the board, which is what we're asking for is an extension of 90 days because you have an ongoing process that's occurring with code enforcement even now. Over what standard is going to be applied and whether we're in compliance, and that continues to occur. And that, based on the other factors in addition to it, we would state that a foreclosure would not be appropriate, given and respectfully, given the possibility that the city of Palm Coast may wind up responsible for Gulf Group's legal fees.
What do you expect to happen within those 90 days in that extension period that you're asking for?
I would expect we're going to have a hearing. Well, A, there'll be a hearing on an injunction if we can't reach an agreement with them. But B, I would expect that there probably will be an agreement with the city as to what standard applies. I don't think Mr. Reichman could reasonably argue that the zoning didn't revert. It's Palm Coast's own land development code. So now that we're dealing with the actual zoning of the property, I would think that the city will be reasonable in determining that you can't require the reverted agricultural zoning to maintain grass to less than 4 inches of height. And once we come to an agreement on that, it would obviate the need for the foreclosure. And in the meantime, given the circumstances, and again, we understand, you know, we may win, we may lose, but it has a possibility to blow back. And we're attempting in good faith to work it out with code enforcement at no cost to the city of Palm Coast.
Am I understanding this correct? In August, the first hearing, and I remember the first hearing, and there was the understanding that you were going to meet with staff and come to some agreement with regards to the standard.
I'm glad
So you were supposed to meet with staff, and whether it was the 4 inches, I don't have the document in front of me. I'm going off my memory, which sometimes is okay. But you were supposed to meet with staff, is my understanding or my recollection, and that some sort of a standard was going to be developed with regards to mowing. I do recall we did not hold you to the standard of a golf course because it was no longer a golf course. But you, and I seem to recall you saying, we're going to mow it, we're going to get it down, you're going to mow it. So are we still trying to figure out what the standard is? We're here The first hearing was in August. This is now March, and we're still trying to figure out the standard. Am I correct in...
Believe it or not, yes, there is continued.
Okay.
We did cut it.
And there, you know, I have been very patient in letting this gentleman and his clients go on and make a whole lot of assertions and haven't. But, I mean, at this point in time, I think it's only fair if this board let the city present some testimony as to what has happened.
But I have my Yocan. I wasn't quite finished. I have the witness who's been interacting with the city of Palm Coast that I was going to call on the issue directly of what all has been done in terms of trying to set this standard as to what's applied to this property.
And quite candidly, all of that is irrelevant.
Why are you calling a witness for the same issue?
As your board attorney has indicated, all we're here on today is whether or not this matter should go to the foreclosure. That's it.
For those that didn't catch that, he just stated that it's irrelevant when he was going to call a witness for the same issue. So I think it is relevant.
All right.
But if I may present Mr. Yocan's testimony.
And we would object to that testimony as being
We would
irrelevant.
Object to your witness's testimony.
Great. Hope you do.
I just did.
And you all certainly can make a motion and go forth, or you
can
choose to hear testimony.
Say that... Ladies and gentlemen of board, if you would consider a motion, make that motion now.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to hear Mr. Roachman's side of the story from the city. That in order for us to really understand this whole situation, I believe there's more information he can provide so that we truly understand it.
At this time, only because we have a record that's being made, we would have to object to the apparent double standard of us not being allowed to present our testimony as to the interactions that have occurred between Golf Group and the city of Palm Coast while Mr. Reichman is being allowed that same courtesy.
Well, it's not my opinion that you should not be allowed. It is my opinion that we should hear Mr. Reichman first. And once we have heard those things, then I would have no objection to hearing your witness that may have something to do with that testimony.
Mr. Reichman's witness is a rebuttal witness to a witness that we have not actually called yet is the problem. And so if you want to, I mean, the council will have to make a determination as to whether testimony about the
Mr. Copeland, excuse me, if you have specific questions that you think will help you decide whether you should authorize foreclosure or not authorize foreclosure, ask those questions.
And we would respect
of whichever right. person you think can help you.
If we would, I'm going to go back to the question. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, do I hear a motion?
I move that we authorize the city to move forward with foreclosure.
I have a motion on the floor to accept the city's recommendation of foreclosure. Do I hear a second? Going once. Going twice.
I'll second the motion.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation for foreclosure. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? So ordered.
Could I have a quorum on the vote, or excuse me, could I poll as to what I heard, three ayes and no nays. Would everyone identify, just for the record, how they
All right, voted? To complement the attorney's request, consider a raised hand vote or the vote that we just took. All of those that voted in favor, please raise your hand. All those that voted opposed, please raise your hand. Again, I'll stand on it. So ordered. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next case will be AI 24.
Y'all have a great day.
Case number 20150814 93, the City of Palm Coast versus RM5, Fifth Avenue LLC, 4 Office Park Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 15-1, no permit for work or remodel. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Again.
Okay. Good morning. Mike Haddon, City of Palm Coast Code Enforcement. I'm having an evidence to composite one proving proper service with numerous photos. These photos show the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case was follows. Warning notice was written on the 27th day of August, 2015, giving 10 days to comply. Proper notice and procedure filed in this case. Recheck of the property was conducted on the 8th day of March, 2016, and the violation has not been corrected. This is the first notice given for this violation on this property. Based upon testimony and evidence in this case, the city requesting the board impose the following. Fine violation order C, recommend giving 10 days to comply, or fine $50 per day, administrative cost of $69.
There are a representative here from RM5 Fifth Avenue LLC. Is there a representative here from RM5 Fifth Avenue LLC? If not, does anybody on the board have any questions?
As of this date, no permit has ever been issued then for this remodeling work, even though it's continuing to go on.
A permit was applied for. The work was done without a permit. The project backed out completely, and the walls that were taken out, put up, have remained. What the city is requesting that it be put back into its original state, and to do that, the permit needs to be pulled.
Are there any further questions? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of the board, it's 11:15. If we want to take a break, or do we want to continue with the cases that we have?
We got a lot of people out here to speak.
Number three? Okay. We do want to hear one more case. AI 14. Case number 20151107-4. It's the City of Palm Coast versus Carmelita de Miranda. 81 Rain Tree Place, Palm Coast, Code Section 15-1. No permit for a fence.
Morning. Code Enforcement Officer Joe Festa for the City of Palm Coast. For the record, the respondent is present. I'm entering into evidence, city composite one proving proper service along with several photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the date and times as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On November 2nd, 2015, a courtesy notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was not corrected. The current warning notice was written on November 4th, 2015, giving 5 days to comply for getting a permit. A recheck of the property was conducted yesterday before code board, and a violation has not been corrected. There's the second notice given on the same property with the same property owner. Based upon testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city has requested the board impose the following. Fine violation order C, recommend giving 5 days to comply or a fine of $50 per day and administrative cost of $69. Okay, what it is here is I talked to the lady and she said it was for vines. But as you can see, the posts exceed a 6-foot height limit. And the fence is not material that you could be used. I have someone here from zoning who could explain exactly what it is that they mean. Jack.
Are there any questions from the, is Carmelita de Miranda here? Come forward, please.
Yes, it's not a fence, and the city keep sending me these letters and certified letters about a fence, and I'm in violation. This is not a fence. I stopped this whole thing because of all these letters and things that I'm getting from the city of Palm Coast, and they proved to me that this is a fence. I just don't want a fence. Before I started this, I called the city and asked what I have to do if I want to put some trellises. And they said, you have to stay so many foot from the line and all that stuff. And I did just that. So I stopped with planting more vines because I was waiting, what is the result? How can the city say to me that this is a fence and it's not? And I don't want a fence there. There is a plastic fence on one side and there is a chain link fence on the other side of the property, and I don't know how I can put the fence in between those two things.
Who put up this structure?
My son did. Just put cement and then the poles and then put some wire to put some vines. But I stopped with the whole planting because of all this stuff is going on with the city.
Are there any questions from the board members? Marcia, you were going to make a comment?
Well, I was just going to mention, I think the code officer had indicated someone from zoning was here, if you have questions.
Jackie Gonzalez is here. This lady came in and talked to Jackie, and Jackie explained to her exactly what she needed, and I'll let Jackie tell you what transpired.
Well, before Jackie comes here, there was some other, because there was a sign on the garage door by the property. It's a rented property. I live across the street. And I called the gentleman, and I told him that it's not the fence, and it was okay when I explained to him what it was. And then the thing was over, and then it started all over again. And that's the second time when I came to Jackie, and she told me, no, it's not, and you're not even allowed to put the trellis in your yard, wherever you're going to put it, because the material is not correct, this is not correct, and etc. So it was not about the fence anymore. It was about I am not allowed to put the trellis in my yard. That wasn't about. And I keep getting all these letters here about a fence that I am in not complying with the code enforcement because I didn't ask for a permit. And I don't need a permit because this is not a fence. That's all.
You've been here most of the meeting, am I correct?
Excuse me?
You've been here most of the meeting?
Yes.
Okay. And you saw the action that the city, the board has authority to go, if the city requests it, the board has the authority to go up all the way up to foreclosure. If the city is telling you that you need a permit, you need to sit down with the city and find out what that permit entails and get the fence into compliance. Your interpretation of a fence and the city's interpretation of the fence are two different things.
Yes.
The city's interpretation of the fence is what we're going to make a decision on. And at $50 a day, it doesn't take long for you to realize that at the end of a month,
so that is,
it's going to cost you more.
That I'm always losing. I didn't have to come here. If the city tells me, the city has all the power. So what were you doing here then? Okay. Because you're going to give the city the right.
Are there any further questions from the board member?
I think we need to hear from Jackie as to what the
conversation is. I want to ask the code enforcement officer a question before you.
Yeah. Okay. First off,
one question.
What you see here, these posts, they're over 6 foot.
Yes.
Right. No fence could be over 6 foot high. Second, we have numerous complaints that there's a fence. And when you look at it, the common person will look and say, yeah, it looks like a fence. But this material could never be used as a fence. She wants to put a trellis. And she came into zoning, and like I said, Jackie explained to her exactly what she needed, and she just hasn't done nothing in 2 months, 3 months.
Jackie, could you come forward, please?
I didn't get to ask my question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought the question was directed to Jackie.
No, my question is, this structure, fence that we interpret to be a fence, does it go the full width of her property?
Yes.
So it goes from the plastic fence on one side to the chain link fence on the other?
No, it's open. They took a picture.
I would say it covers 90% of her property line in the back of the house. Yeah, here's a picture. Here's a picture.
Oh, all right. Okay. This picture kind of shows a little better.
Yeah,
all right.
It covers like 90% of her property.
I was going to put trees in between, but I didn't do anything because of all this thing going on.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Jackie, could you come forward, please?
Hello, board. How are you? Based on the definition of a fence that is actually a fence permit, in the definition of a fence in our code, an artificial structure, vertical barrier that's constructed of wood, vinyl, or metal, erected or enclosed to restrict access, screen, or separate an area. And that's what she's built here. So I explained to her that that was a fence and that if she wanted a trellis, she would have to use a trellis product and not a fence product to create a trellis. Also, our code prohibits chicken wire as a structure to be used as fencing, and she has both of those on this property. So we did talk, We did discuss what a trellis was and that that product was not a trellis product. And then I did give her options on what she could use as a trellis product.
Thank you. Are there any further questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Make a motion we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation of a fine order C with 5 days to correct it, you said?
Yes, sir.
5 days to correct the problem or pay $50 per day until the problem is corrected and administrative costs. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case will be AI 29. Case number 2015-110124. It's a repeat violation. The City of Palm Coast versus Vyacheslav Chageva at 51 Pine Circle Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34F, vehicle improperly parked.
For the record, the respondent is present. Code Enforcement Officer Romeo for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite one proving proper service and a copy of the original board order along with numerous photos. These photos that I took depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. The respondent was previously found in violation of the same code on the 7th of November, 2014. This violation was corrected. The repeat notice was written on the 3rd day of November, 2015, giving the appropriate quiet time as per Florida statutes. The respondent was in repeat violation of the above-cited code for the period of the 3rd of November 2015, 1 day. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 4th of November 2015, and a violation has been corrected. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. Comply to repeat violation D, requesting a fine of $100 a day for 1 day in violation, and administrative costs of $69.50.
Is there somebody representing 51 Pine Circle yep. Drive? State your name and your address, sir.
Marcelo Gamanchin, 51 Pine Circle Drive.
Okay. Are you the owner?
Yeah. Well, okay. I live there. I was a construction company. We weren't home at the time.
Okay.
Like the initial violation, we fixed it. We weren't home when the construction company came.
Okay.
And that's his car.
And the vehicles are no longer there?
No.
Okay. And they're not going to come back?
No.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
Thank you. So that's what we're looking for. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. What we're looking for, sir, that you correct the problem. If you have and it stays corrected, thank you very much. Our next case is AI 11. It's case number 2015-120124, the City of Palm Coast versus Michael Wren Collins, 57 Fieldstone Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 15-1, no permit for a shed.
For the record, the respondent is present. Code Officer Rich for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence the city's composite, providing proper service along with photographs. These photos show the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. The current notice was issued on the 3rd day of December 2015, giving 5 days to comply. Proper notice and procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 8th day of March 2016, and the violation has not been corrected. This is the first notice issued on the same violation property and property owner. Based on the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. No fine detaining order C. Recommend giving 5 days to comply or a fine of $50 per day. Administrative cost of $53.50. I'm sorry, $69.
59?
69.
Is Michael Wren Collins present? Come forward, sir. State your name and your address.
Michael Ryan Collins, 57 Fieldstone Lane, Palm Coast, Florida.
Yes, sir. And what do you have to say?
Well, I've tried to get the building permit for my shed, and I've had some serious health issues. That's part of the reason. I've contacted several people to try and get. Now I've applied for the permit, and I'm waiting for a wind load balance or whatever it is ratio. I've contacted three architects, two engineers. The last one I have is Stan Hawley, and I'm waiting to hear back from him. He was out of town last week. Give me the wind load ratio, and then I can get my permit, and I'll be good to go with the shed. I didn't realize I had to have a permit for a shed. Excuse my ignorance.
Did you build a shed yourself?
Yes.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Do you believe that within 5 days you'll have the necessary information to complete your permit process?
I certainly hope so. I have talked to several people. I've had a contractor. I've had two contractors out. The last was Richard Hausen, who is a customized builder. He came out and looked at the shed and said it was good to go for him, but I still need from the city a wind load ratio, and that's what I'm waiting to get, and then I can get that done.
Mr. Chairman, city would believe that a 15-day would be more appropriate.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
The city is willing to give you 15 days, you'd be able to take care of it?
I certainly hope so. Not like I'm not trying.
If there be no further questions from the board members.
I make a motion that we accept the city's recommendation with the 15-day period to comply.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's amended recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, so ordered.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Our next case is AI-2. Case number 20150911112. The City of Palm Coast versus Anthony and J. Diana Allred, 59 Christopher Court, Palm Coast Code Section 15-1, no permit for a driveway extension.
Good morning. AI-2 and AI-3 are for the same property.
I'm sorry, what was your question?
We have two cases that are for the same property. I want to give them one after the other.
That's up to the board. The city has no objection, obviously. I'll present the two. If that's all right with the
You just
the
need
board.
To make two motions, and you'll need to, you know, obviously deal with both violations.
Okay. All right, good morning. Code Enforcement Officer Michael Esposito for the City of Palm Coast. For the record, the respondent is present. I'm entering into evidence the city's composite one, providing proper service, along with numerous photographs. These photographs that I took depict the conditions on the date as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 16th day of October 2015, a notice of violation was written giving 14 days to comply. A reinspection was conducted on October 30th, and the violation was not corrected. Rechecks of the property were conducted on the following dates: November 30th, 2015, December 30th, 2015, January 29th, 2016, and February 11th, 2016. A recheck of the property was conducted before Code Board on March 8th, 2016, and the violation has not been corrected. Proper noticing procedures were followed in all cases. Based upon the testimony and the evidence submitted in the case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following: fine violation order C, recommending giving 30 days to comply and a fine of $100 per day plus administrative costs of $69.
It was $50 per day?
It was $100 per
day.
Is Anthony or J. Diana Allred present? Come forward, sir. State your name and your address.
Anthony Allred, 59 Christopher Court. I apologize, I've been under the weather a little bit this week, and so if you can't understand me, I'll try.
Okay.
Yes, sir. The property, sir, was purchased on April 3rd, 2013 by myself and my wife. No improvements have been made to the property since we purchased it. We've been living there for the past 2 years with no understanding of why this occurred to us, and this came completely out of the dark from the City of Palm Coast. When they told us that we were in violation, we had no idea why. They told us that, in their estimation, that it didn't really matter. All that matters is compliance. But at this point, it was a point of at what cost. They're expecting us to budget out thousands of dollars to fix a problem that was there, apparently, before we even purchased the property. So at that point, we've had to become more investigative and do background on the property. What we found was that there is an extensive permit history that has been undertaken by the previous owners of the property. We're able to finally get a hold of the title company. They did a title search. Everything came back clear. So that wasn't an option. So then we were trying to contact the previous property owners. We were able to contact the previous one through a mediator. He is currently in a hospital. He's 92 years old, and he is in a hospital in Minnesota. And if I would, I'd like to address them in two, because they're two different things. And these things have occurred different, have been handled differently throughout the house's history. The first is in regards to the driveway. I explained to them what I was told, that the driveway should have been grandfathered in by the city of Palm Coast, that it was put in prior to the city's incorporation. I was able to go to the county where I spoke to Mr. Jay Garner, and I spoke to Michelle Morgan. They have a permit that they were able to give me from the county that stipulates that there was poured concrete, and then I was able to get photograph evidence provided to me by the county that was taken a year later that shows that the driveway is in. And I'd like to submit that as proof that there was a permit pulled on the driveway and that it should be grandfathered in by the city. My next one is one that's rather difficult because that involves the no maintaining the area between the property. And ma'am, would you like these?
Pass them here and I will get them to the board.
And I did explain to the city that this was done prior to also, in researching this, I believe that code follows land and that the city has replaced driveways and culverts that were not up to existing standards, and this was done 3 to 4 years ago in Floyd Court. And so there is a standard that the city has done involving areas this type of problem in the past. And then as far as the not maintaining the area between the property, if you look at the photograph, there's a nice retention wall that is there. This was detailed in my survey that was given in our closing packet. And it doesn't stipulate that there's anything wrong with the current wall. And I was told that this was part of a massive refurbishment permit that was pulled with the city, and that this a lot of work was done on this house in the years of 2004 and 2005. Excuse me. And that this area in the front was approved on and signed off by the city. I've asked for the packet smell. It has the details of exactly what work was going to be done, but I haven't been able to locate it. And since the previous homeowner is 92, he is in a hospital. He says he has it, but I'm I don't know how to go about getting it to prove it.
Question I have. What is the purpose of the plastic pipe that's running between the driveway sides?
I believe, are you talking about the white
yes.
pipe?
Yes.
That was run as far as part of the irrigation system. I would have no problem in cutting that off and removing it and capping it. It doesn't really serve any purpose
No water line running to it then?
It's just for irrigation. There's some sprinkler heads that we've never used that we found But we would have no problem removing that to allow for better flow. I don't think that would be a problem. But until we figured out what exactly was going on here with numerous permits over 21, 22 years, it's been quite a study.
Have you shared the information that you gave us today concerning the county permit and the pictures? Have you shared that with the code office?
I have not shared them to the code office, but I did inform them of verbally that it was my understanding that a permit had been pulled in the driveway and it was done before Palm Coast became incorporated. I did share that, and I was also helped by several of them. They've been helping me work through this as we detailed how many permits were pulled in this house, what it entailed, but getting the devil in the details as far as what was actually submitted in that packet that details this was done, this. That's been extremely hard because it was 11 years ago, 12 years ago, and I don't think the city is keeping those packets on file as we go. I think, you know, there's a certain time period that they, you know, that they remove those. So that's been challenging.
Can I ask the city attorney, does the city have an opinion at all given, I know you haven't had an opportunity to look at what he submitted today, but assuming there was a permit issued before incorporation and so forth, does the city have a position as to whether this should go forward?
Yeah, that's really a decision for the staff. I'm going to let them, if you could let them look at the documentation, as the gentleman indicated, the city hasn't seen it yet. So if you could let the city look at it, and then they can try to answer your question. I'm not trying to put you off.
I understand.
Really,
would the city be agreeable to extending this for another 10 or 15 days or 30 days, or whatever the case may be, so that Mr. Allred can get this information to you and make a determination? I'd hate to make a decision as the board and find that a permit was issued in this particular case. I think the permit is vague as it is. It says windows to doors and pour concrete. Does it say pour concrete from the street to the house? Does it say from the front door to the side garage door? It doesn't say anything.
That's exactly what I asked. And that's exactly what I asked the county. I said, you know, this is not very specific, and they said that this satisfied them that this would cover the driveway because they have the aerial photographs that were taken a year later that show the driveway that was installed, so that there was concrete, and that they were said, quote, "This is consistent with how the county operated back then," unquote.
Mr. Chairman, I'll certainly defer to what the city wants to do with regard to the driveway issue, because that's something that, we'll have to go back and research. But I do want to point out we've got two cases here today, and I don't want us to get the two, you know, there's apples and there's oranges here. So the documentation that you provided only pertains, as I understand it, just to the driveway issue and not to case number three, which is the maintenance problem of the property between the property line and the road. So I just want to make sure the city may or may not want to go ahead and defer on the driveway issue, but I want to make sure we address the property maintenance issue as well separately.
I'm only referring to the one case that ends in 1112, which is the first case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sir?
If we could let just the city respond, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
For the driveway, we have a 2003 permit, city permit, for work to be done, and in there was a diagram. Was a plan showing what work to be done, and it clearly says in there on the bottom that the concrete is to be removed. Submit this to you and take a look at it.
This is the first I've seen of this as well, sir. And also,
I had spoken with the property owner a few times, and per his request, we set up a meeting to sit down with city staff and talk about what needed to be done. We'd have all the players in the room to deal with the driveway. He did not show up for that meeting, nor did he call me. I had several phone calls and messages, and they were never responded to. So a lot of, and the next thing was we got a public records request, asking for all the permit information, which he had asked for. So we've had plenty of opportunity to deal with this and to kind of go over it and talk about it before we've gotten to this point. So
let me just review this document.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
In the meantime, Marcia, can you tell us whether or not this should be grandfathered?
Well, the question for you is, has the city proved to you that the respondent committed the violation cited in the city code? That's what your request is. Did the city prove to you that a driveway or a permit for a driveway extension was not pulled by the respondent?
But if the violation was grandfathered, then there is no violation, and there would be no permit necessary for something that's not a violation.
That goes to, did the city prove to you that the respondent did not obtain a permit for a driveway extension?
But that doesn't answer my question. My question is, if there's no requirement for that, can we charge him with not getting it? If the driveway itself was grandfathered in 1999, like half this entire city was, and it was in fact part of that grandfathering, then there's no violation because there was nothing wrong with it.
If this board feels that the evidence shows that there was a driveway there prior to this respondent taking ownership, then I would suggest to you that perhaps it has not been proven that this person poured a driveway without a permit.
If I may, could I put a finer point on this? I'm not sure who from the city would be able to come and testify, but I would ask that the city be allowed to come and have them testify about what the legal standard is. Let's just say the facts show that this house was built and this driveway was extended with or without a county permit before the city was incorporated. Let's find out what that means within the context of the city code.
That's my question.
And because it's a little more confusing because apparently in 2003, and I haven't seen the documentation, there was a request by the prior property owner to remove the concrete that was, I guess, added before we were incorporated. But Barbara, do we have someone who can testify as to the impact based upon city code, the issue of grandfathering, with permitting?
Barbara Grossman, code enforcement manager for the city of Palm Coast. In going back in the records to see if a permit was pulled for the driveway, at the time we have the previous Palm Coast Community Service Corporation our drawings where it required the deed restrictions required that you have approval. We went back and looked through those, and we have nothing that indicated that there was a permit pulled for the driveway. What the owner is showing us today is that there was a permit pulled in 1993 for pour concrete and windows. I don't have anything within the architectural review to indicate that it was approved through the architectural review committee. We do have, though, which we're presenting to you today, that another owner in 2003 pulled a permit for a massive addition to the property, and it indicated a circular driveway, showing that the circular driveway would be removed. And that was done under the City of Palm Coast. At that time, it was done through IIL. Is that the name of the company? That was doing the work for the city for permitting.
If I could, Barbara, if you could tell the board, what is it that specifically this property is in violation for and what has to be done for compliance in the city's viewpoint?
The first case is the driveway without a permit. Okay, we have nothing indicating that a permit was pulled for anyone living at that property for that house.
So compliance would be what?
To obtain a permit.
Okay, this gentleman has indicated or implied that to get a permit, it would be monumentally difficult.
In speaking with the building inspector, we had spoke on the driveway itself, the circular part of the driveway.
Let's get the building inspector up here,
yes,
if we could, please, so that the board can hear exactly what's going on here.
And then I'll speak on the second case concerning the right-of-way.
Mr. Healy, building official.
Good morning, sir.
To obtain a permit to do a driveway, it's not that difficult. They just need to show up where the driveway is going to go. They pull a driveway permit through the code construction management engineering. They just have to meet the criteria for the drainage that meets in our technical codes.
But if the driveway is already there, are you going to require any additional inspection work or core test or something to determine that what's there?
Yes, we're going to ask for a core to show that it's the proper thickness. I mean, we currently have a case right now that I'm going through that where they poured the driveway after obtaining a permit. They poured the driveway and never requested any inspections whatsoever. And they are having to core it right now to prove that it's done to the proper thickness.
Okay, if, correct me if I'm wrong, if a piece of property is accepted the way it is when you purchase it, if it wasn't brought up at the closing, then the property as is in a properly permitted situation can transfer from one owner to another, as is the case here. But I look at the paperwork that I see, the blueprint or the copy of the blueprint in the application for the permit, and I don't see anything about a driveway in there. I see two highlighted areas that show that they're putting in walls, windows, doors, etc., and pouring concrete for the foundation of that particular addition. As far as the driveway is concerned, it doesn't even come into play on that application.
Except correct. The driveway would not be part of that permit.
Correct.
A driveway
that's what
would
I'm
have
saying.
Been a separate permit. There is a totally separate permit for those.
Initially, what I heard was that it was permitted by the previous owner. I don't see that there at all. I think that at this point, since there is a vehicle for or an opportunity for the owner to get a permit to make this whatever it is in the driveway legal, then we should give the homeowner every opportunity to get that done.
Correct.
To comply with the city. I think that Mr. Allred has gone a long way to get all this information. His tenacity here has been phenomenal, because I haven't seen anybody else dig up all this information that he's gone through. But I think that if we go that extra step and give him that extra 30 days to get that permit, I think Mr. Allred will get that permit. And then we'll be in compliance, and we won't look like we're out there beating him over the head after he's bought this home. And I agree, if there's no permit for that driveway, we need to get that permit and get it justified.
Except that I've heard testimony that says the driveway was put in before the town was incorporated, and therefore it's grandfathered. Why should this applicant have to incur any cost to get a permit if the driveway was there and existed before Palm Coast became Palm Coast?
And
we have pictures that show that. We don't have drawings that show it, but we have pictures that show that driveway there before.
Right, but there's been testimony here over the years on this board that any permitting information, building information, if I'm not mistaken, and Barbara, you were there then when it all happened as a county, but all of the county records became part of our records at the time we incorporated as a city. Am I correct, Barbara?
Barbara Grossman, code enforcement manager with the City of Palm Coast. What would happen is weekly, I, as the architectural coordinator, would go over to the county with a REMA paper and pick up all of the permits that were issued by the county to the residents of Palm Coast. Then what would happen is I would go out with a certified letter to those individuals indicating that it has come to the attention of the Palm Coast Community Service Corporation that a permit has been issued for single-family residence, fence, shed, blah, blah, blah. As per the deed restrictions, you're required to get approval. That letter is sent certified, and then the legal aspect of it goes farther. So what would happen is, and then in 1992, ITT formed the Palm Coast Community Service Corporation, and we took over that function. So all of the records, when Palm Coast Community Service Corporation merged with the City of Palm Coast in 2005 of April, those documents came to the City of Palm Coast.
But the applicant had shown us a permit that was issued by the county prior to the incorporation, and as weak as that permit is, it does mention driveway.
No.
Or concrete.
Right.
Poured concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And windows. I mean, that's it's a very vague permit application, but it is a permit nonetheless, and I think the benefit of doubt should go to the present property owner. He clearly did not do any of this. I don't think you have an objection to the fact that it wasn't him that poured the concrete driveway. It was somebody else.
Well, and then I think then it'll come into the second part of what's happening is the first 15 feet is a right-of-way. From the edge of pavement, 15 feet in is a right-of-way. There is an issue there. There is going to be a drainage issue there. You can see obstruction in there. You can see, and I really have somebody else to speak about that because that would be their department with construction management and engineering. So to whatever your decision is with the circular driveway outside of the apron, which because we have to have consideration for drainage, percolation, and the rest of the community and the, you know, the downflow of the pipes and the impeding of anything in the right-of-way, that's your decision as far as the circular driveway goes.
I don't believe there was a swale pipe in place according to those pictures.
That would be, that's out of my realm. I would have to bring somebody from engineering up to speak.
I didn't see any.
And stormwater and public works.
At this point, we're still talking in circles. I have two highly qualified attorneys here, one representing the city, one representing us, and nobody seems to want to answer the question is if the driveway was there at the time the city was incorporated, is it grandfathered in as millions of other properties were? I mean, to me, this is a legal issue. If it's not grandfathered, then we move forward. But if it is grandfathered, and if we don't have the legal power here to make that answer that question, God help us.
No, Mr. Copeland, I understand your concern, and that's why I asked staff to come up and try to address it. So let me try to put a legal touch to it, and that is just that whether or not this was done by this property owner or by a property owner is not legally relevant to the issue of grandfathering. The grandfathering was this ever built and permitted properly while it was it ever in code compliance with Flagler County requirements as to this construction of this driveway before the city incorporated and this became a property within the city of Palm Coast. And that's why I was trying to get the city staff to come up and say, well, what do we know about what happened with regard to this driveway before the city was incorporated? And that goes to the 1993 documents, Mr. Copeland, which, you know, we can reasonably disagree about, but I think it's the city's position and their testimony that there is not sufficient documentation from the county to support a grandfathering argument that when this was in the county, it was built consistent with county codes. And that goes to the point, well, what do those documents show from 1993? And it shows that there was some concrete that was poured. And I haven't seen them, so I'm going to you all can decide what you want to do. But if there's no grandfathering, if at the time the city was incorporated, this was not in compliance with the county codes either. Just because it was built, I mean, doesn't mean that, if you're out of compliance before the city became a city, then there's no grandfathering. At least that's the city's position.
Thank you. That's the answer.
Okay. So, I mean, it really depends upon what you all find with regard to the documents from 1993. And it's the city's position that is not evidence that the property was the driveway was properly built and permitted in 1993.
Okay. Presently, the city is recommending a fine order C, giving them 30 days to correct the problem. We'll pay $100 a day until the problem is corrected or permit, whatever is pulled on it. Mr. Allred, are you in agreement that a permit's necessary for this? And would you pull that permit if the city gave you enough, if the board gave you enough time?
The only thing in speaking to them that I find troubling is that they've already told me that the driveway wasn't in compliance and that, in their opinion, I needed to rip it up and re-pour it at my expense. So in my mind, they've already made up their mind.
Are there any further questions from the board members?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we not accept the city's recommendation with regard to this permit for the driveway extension based on the fact that we can't reasonably determine whether it was in compliance or non-compliance prior to the incorporation of Palm Coast. Therefore, I want to give the applicant the benefit of the doubt and say that it was. It's pre-existing. It existed. It obviously was not his responsibility. Maybe a previous owner did something we don't know, and we have no way of verifying.
All right, ladies and gentlemen on board, we have a motion to accept, not to accept the city's recommendation. Do I hear a second?
That's not necessary.
Huh?
not necessary not to accept it. What are our options, Marjorie?
Well, what you can do is, number one, because there's some confusion about the cases, please specify the case number for the motion. And number two, if you don't want to make a finding that there was a violation with regard to Section 15-1, it would be a motion to dismiss. With regard to the second case, then you would then move on to that one.
I'll amend my motion to say with regard to the case that ends in 11-12, the last four numbers, that we dismiss that.
Second.
So I have a motion and a second to dismiss case 20150911-2. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? So ordered. All right, the second part of this case, also including Mr. Allred, is case number 20150914. City of Palm Coast versus Anthony and J. Diana Allred, 59 Christopher Court, Palm Coast Code Section 24-162B, not maintaining area between the property line and the road.
Okay. Code Enforcement Officer Michael Esposito for the City of Palm Coast. For the record, the respondent is present. I'm entering into evidence the city's composite one providing proper service along with numerous photographs. These photographs that I took depict the conditions on the date as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 16th day of October 2015, a notice of violation was written, given 14 days to comply. A reinspection was conducted on October 30th, and the violation was not corrected. Rechecks of the property were conducted on the following dates: November 30th, 2015, December 30th, 2015, January 29th, 2016, and February 11th, 2016. A recheck of the property was conducted before court board on March 8, 2016, and the violation has not been corrected. Proper noticing procedures were followed on all cases. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in the case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following: fine violation order C, recommending giving 30 days to comply and a fine of $100 per day plus administrative costs of $69.
Mr. Allred, come forward. Comments in reference to not maintaining the area between the property line and the road?
Again, sir, it is, in researching this, this was a permit that was, there was an extensive amount of work done on the house. I have a picture that was given to me from the county that was taken in 2004. It's signed with Ms. Morgan from the county. In it, you will see, if you look at the front, the picture here, the front, this front is being completely redone, as is most of the house. I'd like to submit this to the process. I've been told through the mediator, again, the previous homeowner, he's 92 years old, he's currently in a hospital, that there was a large permit packet that was submitted to the city. They said it was extremely thick. It involved an entire renovation of the not only the interior of the house, but the exterior, where there's a step down on the back left side, the back right side sloped, the front side was redone to this to meet this. There was an addition of a master bedroom, it was an extensive renovation. So what I would like to do, I would actually like to sit down with the city, if possible. I would like to see if I can obtain this packet from the previous homeowner and make sure that all the permits and everything, that they have all the permits, because I was told by the county that they even had some City of Palm Coast permits that they might not even have. So what I'd like to do, if possible, is get an extension on this matter so that I could get that information from the previous homeowner to make sure that this particular item, which he says was included in that permit and was signed off on by the city, is actually factual or not.
Mr. Chairman, if I'm not wrong, this is not a permit issue, though. This is more a maintenance issue.
Maintenance.
It is
no
a permit issue.
Well, so I have no idea what they want me to do as far as...
Nor do I, and that's why I was going to ask the code enforcement officer if he can give us some idea of what would bring this property into compliance as it relates to the maintenance of this.
Okay. Well, let me back up for a second. The property owner had testified that this issue came out of the blue, and that he wasn't aware of it. I'm going to have someone from Construction Management Engineering talk about how this got started, because it was started from a complaint from the property owner that he was having a drainage issue. So that's what started the ball rolling on this. It has to do with a lot of the elements that have to do with the both driveway aprons. So if I can bring up Don Trader, we can talk about it.
The question is, what would it take to bring this into compliance? Nothing more than that. This is a maintenance issue.
Once again, we can testify to that.
Yes, this all started with a maintenance issue. We get calls all the time about people having drainage issues. I'm sorry, Don Trager, Construction Management Engineering. We get calls all the time all over the city, and we require swale maintenance to do it. We don't actively go out and look for issues. We respond to ones that come to us. When we came to this one, what happens is you have the wall that impacts the amount of volume for the swale. You have pipes through the culvert, which ends up blocking it up. All these things, the condition of the pipe itself, all these things factor into negatively impacting everybody upstream. So when this one came around, all these things came into effect, and that's how we came here.
So what would have to happen for this property to come into compliance?
For this one to come into compliance, typically we would have the wall put back onto the property line and outside of the right-of-way. The pipes, the irrigation pipes removed, and the condition of the pipe, from what I understand, is actually in bad shape and is contributing to the problems with the drainage. And that pipe will eventually have to be removed and replaced with one.
So you're saying we have a right-of-way issue, not a maintenance issue? I mean, because the case that we have before us is maintenance.
Sure.
It's not right-of-way. It's nothing but maintenance. And the question is a simple question.
Yeah.
What exactly needs to be done to correct the maintenance violation?
Sure. And maintenance of the property and the right-of-way is the property owner's responsibility. I'm sure you're all aware. And same thing with the driveway. Maintenance of the driveway is the property owner's responsibility, not the city's. The homeowner stated earlier that the city does replace driveways when we do rehabilitation. If we come through and we find a driveway that is out, is the one causing a problem, and it's out of tolerance, we will replace it. My understanding, this one is not out of tolerance. It's just had lack of maintenance and is causing the issue. So the property owner would have to be responsible to take care of that maintenance.
What maintenance? What needs to be done? I don't know how many times I can ask the same question. Is there anybody in this room can tell me what we need to do to put this in compliance, which, if I understand correctly, is part of our legal obligation, to tell you what he has to do?
I believe what you said is you were looking for Mr. Allred to put the wall back.
Yeah, the wall would have to be removed back to the property.
And then maintain the property after that's been taken care of.
After that, the irrigation pipes would have to be taken out of the culvert pipe. And the culvert pipe we're talking about is in disrepair. It's at the end of its useful life. That culvert pipe actually needs to be replaced.
Which means the driveway,
which means the driveway has to be
busted up and removed, replaced with new swale pipes on either side, and then re-poured on the surface.
Correct.
Mr. Allred?
Yes, sir. While I understand the need for erosion management, especially in the areas that we're talking about, if you look at how they cut that swale, it is eroding the driveway. We are going to have an issue there. I was a general contractor. I served 7 tours in Afghanistan with the United States Department of Defense as a subject matter expert in the areas of construction management. And how that they handled this, we're going to have an erosion factor. That driveway is going to bust as a direct result of how this was handled. So while I understand their need, I believe they were a little overzealous in how they went about doing this. And we are going to have future problems as a result of this. And while I'm more than happy to comply with a reasonable request, it seems that they can't tell me how to maintain this. They came in and did it, and then they can't tell me how to maintain it. Now, I don't have any problems removing the irrigation line, as I do understand that that's a a problem for volume, and that can easily be remedied by being cut and capped. But getting any kind of direction has been very difficult. As you can tell, they're, you know, it's very difficult for them. So anything reasonable, we'd be willing to work with them. But as far as the expense of this, we haven't done anything to the property since we bought it. Everything was that we know has been permitted and had been inspected by the county, at least to our knowledge, and the city. So I don't really know how we're supposed to fund something that we had no idea until they showed up and started cutting the swale that we had a problem to begin with.
I add to that. When Public Works does all of our swale maintenance, when they come out to address these issues that come in, the idea during maintenance is to get the water to flow. So, yes, this one's not cut to the standard that we would like, but they did what they had to do to get the water to flow so we can get it moving. To address this issue about the erosion along the side, this driveway was poured before our standards came up to where they are now. We don't allow driveways to be poured this way anymore. This is basically a pipe, concrete slab over the top of it, and yes, you get erosion down the side. And we've always contended that it's not because of the way the swale's cut, because the swale has to be there. The water coming off the driveway and down the property runs along the concrete and washes this out, and it's a problem over time. We have changed our standards these days. Now you see what you see all over the city. There's a concrete mitered end. That culvert pipe is actually half covered in the concrete extends halfway down the culvert to stop this, and a mitered end section is put in. So we don't have this erosion problem anymore. So when this gets...
I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
I presently have a tendency to agree with Mr. Copeland. We're looking at a maintenance problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, visually, I'm looking at somebody's not cutting the grass in the swale or,
right,
you know, something like this.
Weeds.
We may have an issue here where a permit has to be pulled to redesign that area or whatever the case may be. And in that case, then when the permit's submitted, the city can make the demands they need to make sure it's done in compliance with the city. But not maintaining in the area between the line, property line and the road, tells me that the 15 feet that goes from the edge of the road to the property line is not being maintained either from a mowing the grass point of view or making sure that the culverts are not cleaned out properly. That's what I look at. That's what I'm seeing. And I think, Mr. Copeland, you were aiming in that same direction. This is a maintenance
Mr. Chairman,
issue.
I think your points are... Yeah, I think you're... Let me just introduce this, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
They both were?
Okay. I think your points are well taken. And if you look at the materials for this hearing, it says that Palm Coast Code Section 24162B, and that's construction protection of swales roadside, and it says the owner shall be responsible for the maintenance of the area. As you all point out, between the road and the surface and the property line, including the swale, such maintenance shall include mowing, which we're not talking about here. Preventing of erosion, which is not the main issue here, to correctly point out. Removal of obstacles affecting either flow or stormwater or public safety as required. And of course, the main thing we're trying to deal with is the original complaint about flooding. And I mean, I think this started with the property owner complaining about there being some flooding. So, okay, well, that's what I thought I heard. But anyway, someone was complaining about it, so the city responds, and we're trying to fix the flooding problem. But correct me if I'm wrong, staff, but this case also, even though it is not, this, correct me if I'm wrong, but this case number 3 also involves another code, section 24159, swale maintenance. Is that correct? Was he cited for that?
No. No, 162. No, we only did 2 cases.
All right. Can you give us a second?
Sure.
Yes.
Give us 1 second.
Mr. Chairman, how about if we take a 10-minute break?
Yeah, why don't we just take a 10-minute break if we would. We'll return at 12:25. All right, let's bring back our meeting to order on March 9th, 2016 of the Code Enforcement Board.
And we, thank you, sir. We, I got with staff and tried to focus on, you know, is this a maintenance issue? Because your point is well taken. And if so, if it is, why? So with that introduction, I'll let them describe and answer those questions. And then what needs to happen to bring it into compliance, Mr. Copeland?
And the answer is quite simply yes. It's a maintenance issue. Focusing just on the pipe itself. Actually, can you find the other picture of the pipe itself had deteriorated at some point when somebody did a repair to the pipe. And instead of the full-size pipe, that was on one side and basically gone on the other side and just a little pipe causing a restriction. Yeah. This whole thing started, there was a little miscommunication. There was a complaint that was generated that started this whole thing, a drainage complaint. It was not the resident. It was one of the neighbors down in the area. It just, when we got to this point and we started uncovering everything, this is what we found. You can see the edge of the driveway, but you can't see the culvert pipe because the culvert pipe has deteriorated to the point that it's almost no longer there. So even when we clean it out, it's not going to last much longer. And if it does collapse, then we will have a serious issue.
So what does he need to do?
That pipe, the pipes actually need to be replaced, and the property owner is responsible for maintenance of the driveway.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board?
With that being said, also the irrigation pipe would have to be, as he said, cut and capped.
Yes.
To eliminate that restriction.
As well as the wall being removed back, yes.
Those are just stones, they're not set in concrete.
And I believe they're just set. Yeah.
Okay. Be no further questions. I'll accept the motion.
The applicant has his hand up.
I'm sorry. Mr. Hallred, please come
to the pipe in question is part of the driveway. It's underneath the driveway. So in essence, what they're telling me to do is I need to rip up the driveway again. I just want to make sure that everyone's aware of that.
Okay. Do I hear a motion? Going once. Going twice. Going three times.
Can I get a reiteration of what the city's recommending?
We are asking this board to find that the property owner is in violation of the section of the code that was cited, and that is 124-162B, because the pipe has not been maintained, and that the pipe be replaced so that the drainage can, that's the purpose of this, is so that the system of drainage can flow. And there was three things: replace the pipe, and move the stones back, and fix the irrigation part of it. Those three things. And I forget what the amount of time was that they said.
30 days, they originally said.
30 days.
That's what we're asking, Mr. Copeland.
And that's going to require permitting, correct?
Yes.
And is 30 days ample time to get any of this started without the fines
question
starting
is,
to
the
kick
question
in?
Is, what is the appropriate amount of time from the beginning to the compliance? What is the reasonable period of time?
Reasonable period of time is 30 days. It should be 30 days to get to pull a permit, to get it constructed, or to get a new pipe replaced.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I have a motion. I move to accept the city's recommendation with the exception of 60 days instead of 30.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the amended city's recommendation. The board's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? So ordered. Thank you, Mr. Hallred. Appreciate it. Speak to the city. Our next case will be 37. Case number 20151204-01, a recurring case, the City of Palm Coast versus Dale Cicero and Sherry Pyle. 11 Cherry Court, Palm Coast Code Section 35-76D2, accumulation.
Accumulation.
We have to get from the code enforcement officer.
He's right there.
You have to hear from the code enforcement officer first.
Mr. Mendez?
Good afternoon. Louis Mendez for the City of Palm Coast. Mentoring to having a city composite wall improvement power of service along with photographs that are taken that depict the condition data time is indicated. The facts of the case as follows. On the 16th day of November 2015, a notice violation was issued. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current notice violation was issued on the 10th day of December 2015, given one day to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in all cases. A reinspection the following day, it was still not in compliance. Did not come into compliance until December 20th, 2015. Recheck of the property was conducted for code board, and the violation has been corrected. This is the second notice given for the same violation on this property or property owner. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board should impose the following. Motion B, no fine standing order, recurring, plus $53.50 administrative costs.
Mr. Cicero or Sherry Pyle, one or the other, come forward. State your name and your address, please.
Dale Cicero, 11 Cherry Court.
And what do you have to say, sir?
Well, I'd like to say that I'm removing a blight from the neighborhood, and I applied for permits to build a boathouse and to put up a fence, and the accumulation on the side of the house is 2 pallets of travertine, okay? And you see that's my wheelbarrow there with my tools in it, my cable saw. And I also have a stack of Belgian block, also known as cobblestone, and that's for our landscaping that we're going to do. So I'm going to submit some pictures here of what the house looked like when we bought it and what it looked like this morning. I want you guys to look at it. And
the property is in compliance. We're not arguing that.
Right, I understand, but you're saying that I have accumulation, and what I'm doing is it's actually work in progress, and you can't come down on somebody for putting their tools out there and working. I work every day on this property, 7 days a week since we bought it. Okay, and where it was and where it is now is just night and day. And I don't understand why I'm here, to be honest with you.
Well, in this particular case, we're only, ladies and gentlemen of the board, only looking at the accumulations portion of the two charges that are here, the two violations, I'm sorry, that are here. We're looking at the accumulations that are on the property, and according to the CEO, that has been corrected.
Yes, it has been corrected. We gave him a day because it was recurring. It was still in violation the following day. He corrected it, almost 2 weeks later. So he was scheduled, that and another violation that he's here also for. And both violations existed at the same time.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board members on the first case only?
One of the pictures that you showed us are a picture you took of fence post. Is that part of this case? Was there a permit pulled for the stuff, fence? Or?
No, that's a different issue. It was the stuff he took the fence. He took the fencing off, and all you saw was accumulations on the side.
I didn't remove any fencing. I applied for a fence permit. And I was constructing the fence. That was the posts were set, then you put your rails in, and then you put your slats.
Right.
Okay? This is not a piece of junk fence from Home Depot. It's done properly. Everything I do the best job possible. As you can tell by the pictures.
Your picture was to depict the accumulation of equipment at the back of the house, not the fence post.
No, not the fence post.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was the fence post you were trying to.
And that's the front of the house, not the back of the
house. This is a prior one that made it recurring. And the other
further questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation of a no fine order B and administrative costs. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, so ordered. Our next case is the same address, the same property owners, case number 20151204 02, a recurring case, the City of Palm Coast versus Dale Cicero and Sherry Pyle, 11 Cherry Court, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34D2, parking of a boat and trailer.
Luis Mendez for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering to evidence city composite one proving proper service along with photographs taken that depict the condition and date as time is indicated. The facts of the case as follows. 16th day of June 2015, a notice of violation was issued. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current notice of violation was issued on the 10th day of December 2015, given one day to comply. Following day, it was still not in compliance. Did not come into compliance until December 20th, 2015. Proper noticing procedures were followed in all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 8th day of March, and the violation has been corrected and has remained in compliance since. This is the second notice given for the same violation on this property or property owner. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board should impose the following. Motion B, no fine standing order recurring, plus $53.50 administrative costs.
Okay, may I remind the board members that the pictures that were passed here through here before showing the boat no longer on the property since it is in compliance. Are there any questions? Mr. Cicero, any comments you have to say?
No, we were working on the boat the whole time. You know, we're having a boathouse built. Can't have the boat docked on the boathouse when they're building it. Okay, we had an old dilapidated dock, and we chose to build a new one, so the boat can't be on the dock and build it at the same time. So that, you know, is a problem. And our previous problem we had was our boat was put in storage and vandalized. Okay, so we didn't want that to happen again because we can't afford it, you know, because boats cost a lot of money. So,
but it is in compliance now.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yes, sir.
That's
like I said, I'm
the
just
end result that we're looking
all for. I'm doing is I'm doing everything to make it a better place over there. You know.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept a motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, so ordered, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Our next case is AI 19. Case number 20160101 35. It's a recurring case. The City of Palm Coast versus Dale Cicero. 15 Cerruto Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34F, vehicle improperly parked.
For the record, respondent is present. Code Officer Mike Haddon for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering evidence of City's Composite 1 proving proper service along with numerous photos. These photos show the conditions on the date and time as indicated in the facts of the case as follows. The 25th day of April 2013, a notice was written for a vehicle parked on the lawn. On reinspection, the violation was corrected and this case was closed. 18th day of November 2014, a notice was written for a vehicle parked on the lawn. On reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. 29th day of September 2015, a notice was written for a vehicle parked on the lawn. On reinspection, the violation corrected and the case was closed. The current warrant notice was written on the 5th day of January 2016, giving 1 day for compliance for a vehicle parked on the lawn at this address. Proper notice and procedures are followed in this and all cases. Recheck of the property is conducted on the 6th day of January 2016. The violation has been corrected, and it has stayed in non-violation since then. I've had no repeats. Based upon testimony evidence in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. A no fine standing order B. This is for recurring violation in compliance. Administrative cost of $53.50.
Dale Cicero.
That truck there that was parked there, giving the van a jump start because the battery went dead. It's
Speak up, please.
That truck right there was giving the other van there a jump start, and it was only there momentarily. And, you know, it's not there, you know.
What about the Corvette that was parked on there?
That was our car, and I washed it on the lawn because one does not waste the water. And that is not parked there either. That's now resides at 11 Cherry Court in the garage.
You are not currently living at this house?
No, I'm not living at that house.
Is it a rental house?
It will be. Right now, it's not. I have a friend living there that's moving to the W section, and he's been working on the helping us with the 11 Cherry Court, and is now going to do his own thing. So we're going to rent that house out.
Presently, Mike, did you say that it is in compliance?
Yes, it is. I pretty much do a daily check in that area. It's maintained in compliance, and it is registered as a rental unit.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation. Thank you.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, so ordered. Thank you, Mr. Cicero. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen on the board, we'll go to case AI1. Oops. Disregard. We'll go to AI16. Mm-hmm. Case number 2015-120755. The City of Palm Coast versus Christine Pence and Angeline R. Davis, 25 Renfrew Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34F, Trailer and Properly Parked.
For the record, the respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer Jeff Festa for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence, City Composite 1, proving proper service, along with several photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the date and times as indicated. Facts of the case are as follows. On October 2, 2015, a notice of violation was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On October 16, 2015, a notice of violation was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. Current warning notice was written on December 18, 2015, giving 1 day to comply for a trailer on his property. A recheck was conducted the next day, and the violation was still there. Proper notice and procedures were followed in all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted yesterday, March 8, 2016, and a violation has been corrected. This is the third notice given for the same violation on its property with the same property owner. Based upon testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. No fine standing order be recurring and administrative cost of $53.50.
Is Christiane Pence or Angeline R. Davis here?
The gentleman was here. He had to leave to go to work. And I explained to him, you know, if I wanted, we would postpone it or continue it for him. And he says no, because he was here a month before for something else.
And it is in compliance now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are there any further questions from the board members?
Make a motion. We accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, so ordered. Now we'll go to AI 1. Case number 2015110322. The City of Palm Coast versus Robert Cannell, 2 Blackwell Place, Palm Coast Code Section 25-76D, nuisance tarp on the roof.
Code Enforcement Officer Segala for the City of Palm Coast. The respondent is present. I am entering an evidence stage composite one proving proper service along with numerous photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. The current warning notice was written on the 10th of November 2015, giving 10 days to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted on the 5th day of March 2016, and the violation has not been corrected. This is the first notice given for the same violation on this property owner. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. Fine violation order C. Recommend giving 60 days to comply or a fine of $100 per day and administrative cost of $69.
How many days to comply?
60.
60 days.
60. Mr. Robert Kennel?
Yes, sir.
Come forward, state your name and address, please.
Robert Hold on just a second. Were you sworn in earlier, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry. It's been a while.
I sat all the way in the back. Robert Keenley, 2 Blackwell Place, Palm Coast.
What do you have to say, sir, in reference to this?
It's a long story. I don't think you want to hear it. I bought the house. There was damage to it that was undisclosed. About a week after being there, I saw some dripping from the ceiling into my kitchen area. I got up, actually, I woke up on 8/21, noticed it, tried to track it down, sort of did, cut big holes in the gutter because it's an area where there's a swimming pool and there's two roofs that come together, an outside area and the inside the house. I blew some holes in the gutter so the water would go into the pool area instead of the kitchen. I can fix a gutter. That was at 11:44 a.m. I called the insurance company. They said, put a tarp on it. Keep more damage from happening. Well, obviously, that's why I put the holes in the gutter. Had R&K Roofing come out, put a tarp on it. Because I asked them, could I choose who I wanted? And they said, yes. So I chose them because I've seen some of their work. They're licensed, they're insured, and they're reputable. They came out, they tarped it. Day or two later, I called them to get an estimate on a roof repair. Not even a repair, just a new roof. It supposedly had one layer of shingles, according to the person I had examined the home before buying it. But actually, it had two layers, and you can't have three. So looking at the roof, R&K noticed that a repair had been made recently. It was not disclosed. I seriously doubt, looking by the craftsmanship, the person who made the repairs is qualified. If we have a way to find what permits were issued to that property before I bought it, we'll find out if the work was done legally or not. I have pictures of it. It is as it was when I purchased it. The reason the tarp is on the house is because if you remove the tarp or play with it or touch it, insurance company has the green light to tell you, hey, you took it upon yourself, have a nice day, because that's what they do. So it's been up there, and I've seen the notices. I was right to get them. Town's perfectly in its right to enforce whatever they decide. I've been around to all my neighbors, explained to them why I made their neighborhood look trashy. And all of them, as far as I know, understood. I brought them into the home and showed them. They all understood. During the time the tarp was on the house, a problem developed. since I was put off by the insurance company until yesterday. Keep in mind, this started last August, because I had sent them an estimate on mold repair remediation to the tune of about 20 grand. They got back to me and said, in the email, I said, here's the estimate. Any questions? Call this gentleman right here. He's my attorney. I'm not playing with these people. They poisoned my house and they poisoned me. They had experts come and go for the last 4 months till they got somebody who would say what they wanted to hear. Unfortunately, one of the guys they hired said the reason for the mold is because the air isn't moving around. And it's Florida. And it's August. I'm from Buffalo. I don't know what the hell's going on. Black mold, what's that? Well, everybody who came in the house looked up and said, get away from that, or you should get that checked. Everybody said that except the insurance company people. They took a bunch of pictures and walked away. Well, I did get it checked. And I did go to a doctor, a specialist, and he said, get out of there. Where am I going to go? I can't go anywhere. So that's why the tarp is on there, because I didn't want to give them an excuse to tell me to drop dead. Let them tell this guy to drop dead. So actually, any fines you put on me are going right on them. So it's $500 a day. Sorry about that. But whatever you do to a normal person, normal citizen, fine. I'm good with it. But they're getting sued, and they know it. But the tarp is off. The front tarp is off. The part you can see, that part's still on. This one. The front part blew off by natural courses, because these tarps aren't supposed to last 6 months. And they shouldn't be up for more than 2 weeks. I've got a guy that says, hey, I'll put a roof on it. Here's what it's going to cost. Then we saw the internal damage where the trusses are rotted. He said, I can't put a roof on there. The trusses are rotted. In most cases, they're missing. If something's missing, you can't nail to it. But I wasn't told that. I have the pictures of that if you want to see it.
Okay. Is the sheathing underneath the shingles, is that rotted also? If the trusses are rotted, plywood has to be rotted.
Yeah. Our case is, listen, going into court, how I got it, what I saw. Our case says you're going to put a roof on it until that stuff is fixed by a
contractor, because a roofer is not a contractor. A roofer is a roofer. So that's the only guy who's really been straight with me since I moved here. Somebody else would have said, oh, yeah, we'll fix that. Nothing to it. And the first wind that come, away it would go. So what's going to happen here is we've got Palm Coast Examiner's got to come, an engineer, either you have a city engineer or approved engineers, to say these trusses have to be repaired or removed. If there is a way to fix trusses, they're going to know it, not me. And that's what's going to happen. Then they're going to put a new roof on it. But none of this was disclosed to me. So this tarp here, now that the insurance company left yesterday at 3:30, I asked him to his face, can I remove the second tarp? He said, yeah. Got on the phone, called my buddy, who can get on the roof. I'm really not capable right now. And he'll have that tarp off of there by 6 o'clock tonight. Because the point is, the tarp actually caused the mold damage. And the insurance company told me to file a claim. What? Wait a minute. You guys damaged my house and me, and you want me to put a claim in so you can raise my rates for something you did? Yeah, that's okay. That's kind of like having somebody urinate on your head and tell you it's raining. Not my style. You know, I'm a retired blue-collar guy. I don't have Italian marble. My parents were born on Formica, and so was I. It's good enough. But this crap, We'll see what happens, won't we? But it's going to get fixed, right? And the guy who tried to pull this crap is going to pay for it. So there's a whole lot coming up. You guys want to send inspectors? You want to send this guy here, right there, has been great. Professional, personable, nice. I mean, a welcome person on my property anytime. He sees a blue tarp the size of Idaho that's been up there for half a year. Yeah. I just wish instead of taping stuff up, they would have knocked on my door. But there's a reason for that, too. Okay. So it's in your hands, guys. I don't know what to tell you. It's off. It's going to be gone by 6 tonight. But if you want the lawyer's stuff, a letter of recommendation or a letter of service or whatever the heck these guys give you. You know what this is?
Are there any further questions from the board members?
Other than, can you repeat the city's recommendation?
Just saying he's representing you.
Repeat the city's recommendation.
60 days.
The recommendation was to give him 60 days to repair the problem or $100 per day.
Plus the $69
until the problem is corrected and administrative costs.
The tarp is going to be removed today. The tarp can be removed today. It's not going to eliminate the problem, though, but if this is just a case of the tarp, it'll be completed today. It'll be finished.
That'll be off.
For your purposes, that's the case.
Within 3 hours, it'll be gone.
Move to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. All right, thank you, sir.
Okay, what happens here now?
Our next case will be AI.
You don't have to talk to the code enforcement officer.
I'm done? Okay, thank you. Sorry to bother you.
Sir.
Our next case will be AI 5. Case 20151108 39, the City of Palm Coast versus Jacob Bissonnette, 12 Seaflower Path, Palm Coast Code Section 15-1, no permit for a hot water heater.
Good afternoon. For the record, the respondents are not present. Code Officer Fitzgerald for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence the city's composite proving proper service and all several photographs. These photos that I took with the conditions on this date as indicated, facts of the case are as follows. A notice of violation was issued on 11-25-15. Upon reinspection, I determined that the violation had not been corrected and continues to exist. Subsequent reinspections up to and including today, March 9th, have been made and have revealed that the violation continues. Proper noticing procedures were followed in all cases. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following fine violation order C. Recommend giving 5 days to comply by getting a permit and a final or a fine of $50 per day and administrative cost of $69.
Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
To accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered.
Thank you.
Our next case is AI 8, case number 20150711188. It's a Massey case. The City of Palm Coast versus Yolanda Pfeiffer. 68 Fallen Oak Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 24-159A, swale maintenance.
As mentioned, this is a Massey case. For the record, the respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer Rich for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence the city's composite, providing proper service, a copy of the original board order, along with photographs. This case was heard on the second day of December 2015. The order was signed on the seventh day of December 2015, giving 30 days to comply, which would have been the 16th of January 2016. Or fine $100 per day. The property was in violation from 1/16/16 to March 8th, 2016 for a total of 53 days. $100 a day for a total fine of $5,300. Based on the testimony and evidence in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. Massey Mosin G still in violation, administrative cost of $69.50.
Are there any questions from the board members?
In this case, the question is not the swale pipe on the left side, but on the right side, there is no swale pipe, so therefore water is backing up.
Both, yes. He's actually, it collapsed, and he propped it up.
Oh, okay. The one we see here on
that's
the left.
That's a stone in there.
Correct.
Okay.
There be no further questions. I'll accept the motion.
Has the homeowner responded to this at all?
He, and not so much, so many words as pound sand.
Oh. Probably different words.
Correct.
Other words.
Yes.
Do I hear a motion?
Make
motion
a motion,
to
we accept.
Accept. Second.
Motion. Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
In stereo.
I have a motion to accept the city's recommendation. Do I hear a second?
Second.
I already seconded.
Already
seconded. Yes.
I have a motion, a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 12, case number 2015-120637. It's a recurring case. City of Palm Coast versus Nancy R. LaRive, 32 Firethorn Lane. Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a trailer in a residential district.
For the record, the respondents are not present. Code Officer Rich with the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite, providing proper service along with photographs. These photographs show the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 12th day of August 2013, a notice was issued. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 21st day of January 2014, a notice was issued, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 24th day of March 2014, a notice was issued, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 1st day of June 2015, a notice was issued, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. Current notice was issued on the 15th day of December 2015, giving one day to comply. Proper notice procedures were followed in this and all cases. The recheck of the property was conducted on code before code board on the 8th day of March 2016, and the violation has been corrected. This is the fifth notice issued for the same violation, property and property owner. Based on the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. We find standing order B, requiring violation in compliance, administrative cost of $5,350.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Divinity. Contact with the homeowner? Has he responded
yes, he's
to this?
He's aware of it. He has since made, since that time of the last issue, he has made corrections and has an off-site storage facility okay. for the trailer.
Make a motion we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 17, case number 2015-080509. It's a Massey case. The City of Palm Coast versus Rodney F. Folima, 33 C Trail, Palm Coast Code Section 41-11A, trash containers.
The respondents are not present. Code Enforcement Officer Joe Festa for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence in a composite law proving proper service along with a copy of the original board order and several photographs. This case was heard on December 2nd, 2015. The order was signed on December 7th, 2015, giving 5 days to comply, which would have been December 14th of 2015, or a fine of $25 per day. Property was in violation from December 15th, 2015 to March 8th, 2016, a total of 53 days at $25 a day for a total fine of $1,325. Based upon testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. Massey Motion G, stolen violation, and administrative cost of $69.50.
Are there any questions from the board members?
The homeowner's been notified of this a number of times. Looks like the garbage can continues to sit there. Any reason why he can't move it?
The guy's been here before for a couple of, for overgrown also.
Yeah.
I think he's like on his third repeat or something. The guy just goes away for a certain amount of time. Code Officer Fitzgerald talked to him twice and told him, just move the garbage can into your garage. He goes, oh, yeah, I'll take care of it. Well, as you can see, he never did. So, I mean, he's been here quite a few times. So
he knows that a fine?
Oh, he knows about all the fines, yes, sir.
Okay.
Are there any further questions from the board members?
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 25, case number 20150913326, a recurring case. City of Palm Coast versus James T. and Eleanor J. Miller, co-trustees at 25 Panorama Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34F, vehicle improperly parked.
For the record, the respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer Romeo for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite warrant proving proper service along with numerous photos. These photos depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 26th day of March 2015, a notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 27th day of July 2015, a notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current notice was written on the 28th day of September 2015, giving one day to comply. Proper surrounding noticing procedures were followed in this in all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted on the 7th day of March 2016, and a violation has been corrected. This is the third notice given for the same violation on this property owner. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. A no fine standing order B, recurring, and administrative costs of $53.50.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. The next case is AI 31, case number 20150901. The City of Palm Coast versus Gerardo A. Aguilar, 58 Postview Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 35-76D1, nuisance accumulations.
If possible, you can do AI 32 also at the same time because it's the same pictures, the exact same testimony.
Okay.
Yeah. We just need to do two motions.
Yeah. Okay.
For the record, the respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer Romeo for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite warrant proving proper service along with numerous photos. These photos depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. The current notice was written on the 5th day of September 2015, giving 5 days to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this in all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted on January 21st of 16, February 11th of 16, February 25th of 16, March 3rd of 16, and the final recheck of the property was conducted before Code Board on the 7th day of March 2016, and the violation has not been corrected. This is the first notice given for the same violation on this property owner. Based upon a testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. Fine violation order C. I recommend giving 3 days to comply or a fine of $50 a day and administrative costs of $69.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Why has he not moved anything? This ladder continues to sit there on every picture.
It's the blocks, it's that rack, it's the hose, it's the tables.
What's his problem?
I don't know.
Did the board get pictures of the trash container violation? I'm not
sure.
Yeah.
You see, on one of the pictures, there's a trash container right there. I think on the third, there's a recycle bin.
Great, thank you.
Another recycle bin.
Tires and a trash container right behind the tires.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions from the board members?
Make a motion, we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
In case 90191?
Case number 20150901. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
Also. I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation of giving them 3 days to correct the problem.
Yes.
Or $50 per day fine and $69 administrative fees.
Correct.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 32, case number 20150903.05. City of Palm Coast versus Gerardo A. Aguilar, 58 Post View Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 41-11, trash containers.
You just heard that case.
Same thing we had before. It's still not corrected. Am I correct?
Still not corrected.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 33, case number 2015100844, a recurring case, City of Palm Coast versus Cassandra Realty, Inc., 34 Prosperity Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34F, vehicle improperly parked.
For the record, the respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer Romeo for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite one proving proper service along with numerous photos. These photos depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 19th day of April 2011, a notice was written, and upon reinspection, a violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 17th day of November 2013, a notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 18th day of February 2015, a notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 21st day of September 2015, a notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. The current notice was written on the 16th day of October 2015, giving 1 day to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted on December 28, 2015, and February 11, 2016, and it was still in violation. The final recheck of the property was conducted on the 7th day of March, 2016, and the violation has been corrected. This is the fifth notice given for the same violation on this property. Property owner, based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. No fine standing order B, recurring and administrative costs of $53.50.
Is this a rental property?
Yes, it is.
Because this goes back 5 years.
Yeah.
To this month. And it's, I assume there's different renters during that 5 years?
I don't know, but this between cars and trailers, and even on the day of posting, it was parked on the grass.
Does Cassandra Realty ever say anything?
I've notified them, and I guess they tell the tenants, and the tenants do it again.
Are there any further questions? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 34, case number 2015101280. Repeat violation. The City of Palm Coast versus John F. and Lori L. Kenney. 91 Blair Castle Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a commercial vehicle in a residential district.
For the record, the response is not present. Code Officer Luis Mendez for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence city composite one proving proper service along with photographs. These photos taken depict the condition and date as time is indicated. Facts of the case as follows. The respondent was previously found in violation of the same code on 7th day of July 2015. The violation was corrected. Repeat warning, the repeat notice of violation was written on the 28th day of October 2015, given 0 days to comply. It was a repeat violation. It was fined until in compliance. The respondent was in repeat violation of the above-cited code for a period of October 28, 2015 to November 2, 2015, in compliance on November 3, 2015. A recheck of the property was conducted for a code board, and the violation has been corrected. This is their first repeat. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board should oppose the following. Complied repeat violation motion D, requesting a fine of $100 a day for 6 days in violation for a total of $600, plus administrative costs of $69.50.
That was for how many days?
Six days. $100 a day.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Has Roto-Rooter responded to this complaint?
It's really the homeowner, not the company.
You didn't respond to it.
Are there any further questions?
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 35, case 2015120347, a repeat case. The City of Palm Coast versus Monica T. Mears, 36 Bressler Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a commercial vehicle or trailer in a residential district.
For the record, response not present. Louis Mendez for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering to evidence City Composite 1, proving proper service, along with photographs. These photos taken depict the condition and date as time is indicated. The facts of the case as follows. The respondent was previously found in violation of the same code on the 10th day of June 2013. This violation was corrected. The repeat warning, the repeat notice of violation was written on the 8th day of December 2015, given 0 days for a repeat, find the tune compliance. The respondent was in repeat violation of the cited code for a period of December 8, 2015 to December 22, 2015, in compliance on December 23, 2015. Recheck of the property was conducted before code board. The violation has been corrected. This is the third repeat. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board should impose the following: complied, repeat violation, motion D, requesting a fine of $150 a day for 15 days in violation for a total of $2,250. Plus administrative cost of $70.50.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Does the homeowner understand the severity of his?
Yes, they do. They did, because they called and told me when they were in compliance, and you know, I was checking it routinely anyway.
So they know they got a $2,200 fine sitting in front of them.
They will now.
They will now.
But yeah, they knew they were in violation. They called and they stated that, you know, they were doing stuff and that they're in compliance at this point. Okay.
But they're not here. Do I have any more questions from board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI 36, same address, same homeowners, case number 2015120346, a recurring case. The City of Palm Coast versus Monica T. Mears, 36 Bressler Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 35-76D2, accumulations.
Code Officer Louis Mendez for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering to evidence City Composite 1, proving proper service, along with photographs that taken that depict the conditions and time as indicated. The facts of the case as follows. On the 13th day of February 2007, a notice of violation was issued. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 29th day of November 2007, a notice of violation was issued. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. Current notice of violation was issued on the 8th day of December 2015, given 1 day to comply. Proper notice and procedures are followed in all cases. It stood in violation until the 23rd of December, until the 22nd day of December, correction. It was in compliance on the 23rd. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board, and the violation has been corrected. This is the third notice given for the same violation on this property or property owner. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board should impose the following. Motion B, no fine, standing order, recurring, plus $53.50. Administrative cost.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Before we get into unfinished business, I want you all to... I'll introduce Mary. I've been calling her Marsha all day, but she left. She's Mary. Mary's back. I apologize.
Quick name change.
Is there any old business? Unfinished business? Any new business?
I just want to make mention, I'm not sure that I have, that we have two new code officers, Shelley Burton, John Stafford, and on the 21st, we'll introduce you to another one, Brian Shelley. An announcement that Louis Mendez is now the supervisor of code enforcement.
Joan, congratulations.
Welcome.
Chair, if I could let our clerk know, I put the exhibit of the weed in the garbage can over here. Get it? And mark it?
Or you could plant it back in our property.
I know you all have been complaining because our cases were too mundane and boring, so we tried to make it a little more interesting for you today.
Hey, was anything
but
that.
Yes.
Don't do it again.
Yeah. Don't do it again? Well,
Golf course will come back and want us again.
I don't, I know we adjusted our times to 10 o'clock, but I don't ever remember a meeting going 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Not without lunch. Yeah.
Well, sorry about that.
They told me it would be 1:45, and I figured we'd be done, so
sorry about that, folks.
Well, our next meeting is going to be on April 6th at 10 a.m. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion, a second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Being adjourned.